Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think he has seen everyone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everyone. Everyone is there.
Here.
A quorum is present. Would Mr. Wiesar please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I have let the record reflect that I have been informed a few minutes ago that I have a conflict in this matter. And so I will not be able to chair or participate in this discussion, in this hearing. So I'd like to ask our Vice Chair, Director Antonovich, to please do the honors.
Okay, could we have the staff presentation?
Mr. Chair, I wanted to make a few brief comments. What you have before you is a recommendation from the staff on an award of light rail vehicles. I want to just establish the context. We have fallen several years behind schedule in the procurement and receipt of new rail cars, such that we are now we find ourselves under construction on two light rail lines, the Foothill Line to Monrovia and Expo Phase 2 out to Santa Monica. Should be understood that we do not have enough cars at the current time to operate these lines. In addition to that, in a few years, our initial car order will begin to reach the age of retirement, and we will need to have cars to replace them. Now, the recommendation before you reflects pretty much of a year of discussion with the FTA and staff work. I'll just remind you that we had a very painful experience with Breda prior, where there were several years of delay of cars. Some cars were accepted that did not make specification. That procurement had been on a low bid basis. This procurement was initiated based on best value, which the board approved some time ago. Following that, we had extensive discussions with the FTA regarding the evaluation criteria, and I'm proud to say that actually in the past few months we've achieved two things. We have the only FTA letter endorsing a PLA in the country, and on this immediate procurement, for the first time, the FTA agreed for a local agency to include domestic content in the actual evaluation methodology. If we follow the evaluation methodology that we outlined for the board that the FTA approved, I think we are in very solid ground. That takes us to the recommendation for an award to Kinky. In the event that we do not follow that evaluation methodology, I think we are at grave risk of having an FTA evaluation. There will be a protest. The FTA will review this, and in the event that they find that the action was not consistent with the agreed-to methodology, the FTA could make whatever decision they find to be appropriate in that event, including the withdrawal of funds, as has occurred in other locations. In that event, we would be faced with the need to perhaps re-procure, start the procurement again, and would come to a situation where we will have rail lines completed but no cars to run those rail lines. So you have before you a very strong staff recommendation to make the award to the firm, which came out number one in the staff evaluation. Victor?
Good morning, members of the board, directors. To my left is Jess Montes. He is the director of rail acquisition and maintenance, and he will describe the need for these cars. But before we get into our presentation, I want to state that staff's recommendation for approval of contract award is subject to the resolution of protests. We have received two protests. Staff has responded to those protests and denied them. And currently, those two protests have been resubmitted to the CEO for appeal. Any action taken today, if it's an approval of the award recommendation, would again be subject to the resolution of those protests. So we'll start our presentation this morning by talking about delivery schedule and fleet requirements.
Good morning.
I'm gone.
If you can go to the table.
Would you vote on your own?
Okay. As this table shows, the intent is to illustrate the rail vehicle requirements with the anticipated P3010 delivery schedule. The schedule is based on an assumption of an award being given April 2012, at which point the first two pilot cars would be shipped in June 2014. The first production cars delivery would start February 2015 at a rate of four cars per month. The first need for Metro would take place September 2015 for the two line openings. Expo Phase 2 will need 47 cars, and Foothill 2A will need 15 cars for a total of 62. At that time, we anticipate 28 cars having been delivered and ready for revenue service, leaving us 34 cars short. At a delivery rate of four cars per month, that means 8.5 months later, we will have the full complement to support those two lines in May 2016. The next need is in June 2018 for Crenshaw South Bay LAX, 28 cars, and replacing the borrowed cars for Expo 1, 44 cars, a cumulative of 106 cars. However, I wish at that time we should have recovered, and we should have 160 cars delivered. The rest of the table shows the rest of the anticipated needs and the delivery schedule with the final, if all four options are executed, the 235th car being delivered to Metro in February 2020.
The next chart describes a distribution of that fleet by rail line. And as just described, the most important need, or the most immediate important need, are to provide vehicles for Expo Phase 2 and Phase 3. We want to talk next about the evaluation criteria and how we developed that criteria. Mr. Leahy described what is a best value procurement. And we arrived at that decision based on lessons learned from what occurred on the P2550 car. We learned that going to just the lowest price offer was not in our best interest, as we've learned. And there were two lessons that we drew from that experience. The first is we needed to make sure that our evaluation criteria included past performance. Not just on schedule, but reliability, the ability to meet all of the performance requirements, including weight. And then there was a third objective, and that was a challenge issued by the board, that we not only learn the lessons from the P2550 car, but that we also try to find a way to create jobs as part of this important program. And that's exactly what we have done and set out to do. In order to achieve those goals, we established evaluation criteria, which you see before you. This evaluation criteria was established in advance, of course, of the release of the offers. It was made clear to all the proposers what that evaluation criteria was and their relative weights. And, of course, we followed that evaluation criteria to the letter. Shortly, the two proposers who were not recommended for award will have an opportunity to appear before you and be heard regarding their protests. But I wanted to spend a little time to talk about process and what we did to try to make sure that we had a very thoughtful, well-planned evaluation process, one that is transparent and open and understood by everyone. The first thing we did was we hired a consultant, an advisor, an expert in the area of rail car procurement evaluations, Arun Virgin Car from the principal of Virgin Car and Associates has provided procurement expertise and support to such transit agencies as New York City Transit, BART, St. Louis, and Houston. He is also an expert in the area of FTA Buy America compliance. He is a consultant to the FTA performing audits for the FTA of Buy America compliance to Phoenix, San Diego, Honolulu, and Miami. We also hired technical advisors, three each from LTK Engineering and CH2M Hill. I'll just read a few of the projects. The list is so lengthy, you'd have to try and find the ones that they didn't work on, but just a small list: Sacramento, Seattle, Tucson, BART, Phoenix, Portland, Boston, San Francisco, Muni, Pittsburgh, WMATA. These are just to name a few of the projects that these technical advisors have assisted us in developing what we think is a very objective, well thought out, and an evaluation criteria that tries to meet the objectives set out by the board. Don't make the same mistakes we made on P2550. Bring a car in that's reliable, reasonably priced. Don't be late and create jobs as a result of that. What we received were three proposals in April of 2010. So as you can see, as Mr. Leahy's described, we've spent a year trying to identify the firm that is the best value to this agency based on the criteria we established and laid out. Some of the three proposers are Siemens Industry, Kinkishiro International, CAF USA, and our recommended firm is Kinkishiro International. We'll talk in more detail regarding that recommendation. But just very briefly, here are some of the major milestones that we performed. We performed preliminary technical evaluations in June. We had proposer interviews. Those were face-to-face interviews, two full days with all of our advisors and the proposers talking in detail about their experience, their past performance, their abilities, interviewing those project managers that were available. We then went to each of their manufacturing sites in Japan, Spain, and Sacramento, and had face-to-face discussions. We spent 2 days at those sites understanding their capability and capacity. We had face-to-face negotiations. We spent a week with each proposer. And with the assistance of our technical advisors, we identified to all of the proposers their strengths and weaknesses and told them specifically, these are the areas that you have to address in your best and final to improve your scores. We issued the best and final in October, and we received best and final offers in December of 2011. We completed our work, our evaluation, in February, early part of February, and came up with our best value recommendation. And I'll now show that. Going through the major elements of the evaluation criteria, you will see that our recommended awardee, Kinkishiro, is ranked number one in past performance and experience. That's where most of the points are identified. They are second in price. they are first in technical compliance and project management, and overall are identified as the highest scoring and therefore the best value to the agency, again, based on the criteria we established. CAF was rated second overall. They were third in past performance, first in price, third in technical compliance and project management. Siemens was second in past performance, third in price, second in technical compliance and project management, and third overall. Just a brief word on the award recommendation and why we believe Kinkishiro is the best value and should be approved for award today. Kinkishiro represents the lowest risk to delivery schedule. Based on the past performance criteria we established, the number one rated criteria was past performance in the area of schedule adherence. Kinkishiro has a unique has uniquely been the only company that we know of operating in the United States that has never been late. They have 15 projects over the last almost 30 years and have never been late. That's more than just luck. That's, we think, a testament to the processes that we reviewed and identified as being important to being able to deliver a car on time. They also presented to us, based on the evaluation of the criteria, the best performance in reliability, quality, and past performance in weight compliance. They offer, in generally speaking, top technical proposal for rail car systems, overall car design and integration, and they have the second highest component of jobs. I do want to say just very briefly that this evaluation that we performed didn't have the luxury of just looking at one element. We couldn't look at just price or schedule or technical compliance or job creation. We had the obligation of looking at all of those factors and measuring them as objectively as possible to come up with the best recommendation we could. This next table is a description of the strengths and weaknesses of each offer. And as you can see from the strength standpoint, they all have their strengths. These are all three companies are good companies. They have performed and delivered rail cars that are of a high quality. So the decision, while difficult, was clearly the advantage was to Kinkishiro based on the evaluation criteria we established. The only weakness that we could find for Kinkishiro was that they are not the lowest price offer. Their price is about 12% higher than the low price offer. However, for the reasons I described earlier, they by far have the best offer the best value based on the criteria we established. The next chart is a description of the pricing, and this is where the U.S. employment program comes into play. The FTA's guidance, their directive, was that we not score the U.S. employment program, that there not be qualitative criteria established as part of the U.S. employment, but simply that we use a single quantitative data point and that we use that data point as a trade-off. And what we came up with was, or is, the total value of the jobs that are to be created for each proposer. If you'll, as you can see on line F, is a total price for each offer, including a comparison to our independent cost estimate. The next is the job commitment that each proposer has made in regards to all of the base and options. And as you can see, the top job commitment is Siemens at $99.1 million. Very, very closely behind that. Less than 2% below that is Kinkishiro at 97 point, almost 9 million, and then CAF at 62.4 million. We obtain an agreement approval from the FTA to apply an economic multiplier to that value to give us what we believe is the full value of those wages and benefits to the economy. And we applied that multiplier. That multiplier is 1.4%. And we then took that total and subtracted it against the total price. That's how we performed the trade-off. That simple.
Just to interrupt at this point, how does that relate then to the issue as it relates to the Buy America? If you can put a value on jobs, why haven't we had the FDA approval, say, on the Buy America piece or your recommendation? I mean, there seems to be a major issue there. But it conflicts with, one, you can't say jobs. I understand you can't say jobs in L.A. It's got to be jobs in Sacramento or New York or Miami or wherever it may be. But your comment about talking to the FTA about that, how does that relate to not talking to the FTA about Buy America?
We actually did. Our initial proposal included two components. Our initial request to the FTA had actually four, but the two important ones to us were the local jobs program. We asked the FTA for approval of the local jobs, and we also asked them for approval to give us the ability to evaluate job FTA U.S. content. And they did not grant us the approval. They were silent on that matter. And then they came back and rejected the local jobs program. That's when we went back to them and offered to them the U.S. employment program as an alternative. So the relationship, the current relationship is that the Buy America requirements are a responsive issue. They relate to current Buy America regulations that state that the content must be 60%. It's a pass-fail criteria. We were not given approval to look at contents higher than that by the FTA. So that's the distinction between the U.S. jobs program. The U.S. jobs program is a measurement of the creation of new jobs, the wages and benefits of those new jobs, not the total U.S. content against the total offer.
That still seems to be in conflict because, I mean, would we not want or get approval from the FTA as it relates to our Buy America qualification? Are you just going by the guidelines of the 60%?
We're going by the guidelines of the 60%. We didn't get anything beyond that, though we asked.
Okay.
The letters on the FDA. Yeah, as it relates to the Buy America compliance, we have also received guidance from the FTA regarding Kinkishiro's the ability for them to comply, or what we believe is their compliance to the Buy America requirements, and that's based on guidance we've received and rules that have been published by the FTA in two separate letters. But back to the U.S. jobs program, once we were able to do a trade-off of the U.S. employment multiplier, the value, including that multiplier, that yielded an evaluation price. And the price that you see, the evaluation price in I, is what was used for the purposes of determining the score for price. Lastly, is our procurement schedule. As we've described, we've gone through over the last really more than a year. We go back to November of 2010 when we first issued the procurement based on the objectives set by this board. And we have evaluated and performed all of the tasks that we identified in the solicitation. We have followed those to the letter and spirit, and today we present to you what we believe is the best value recommendation and the best contractor for contract award. That concludes our presentation.
Mr. Chair, There was a question asked. I'm not sure if we gave. I'd like to ask actually Kent Widman to come up and maybe give a more detailed response to the question about discussing with the FTA the issue of Buy America and whether we needed whether we're in compliance and whether we need to offer any questions to the FTA. Mr. Widman, please.
Thank you, Mr. Leahy. We have had discussions in the last week due to questions raised about Buy America. We have had discussions with the FTA Chief Counsel Dorval Carter. He requested specific information from us.
Closer to the microphone.
Louder. And Kent, please start over again.
Regarding the Buy America issue, and let me just back up a little bit. All three proposers certified they would comply with Buy America. Of those proposers, Kinky Sharrow is actually the only one who's never had a compliance issue in any of its sales anywhere in the United States. Because the Buy America issues continued to arise and was presented in the bid protests, we initiated conversations with the FTA Chief Counsel's office last week, primarily for the purpose of confirming that the two main precedents or rulings that we were relying on had not changed and were still valid. And in those conversations, we were told that those precedents that we had relied on were still valid. In those discussions, FTA asked us to provide them some additional information and suggested that it would be a good idea, based on that information, that they confirm that the recommended proposer's final assembly process was in compliance with the Buy America requirements. So we had those conversations on Wednesday. We had a specific information request from FTA Thursday morning. We had supplied them all of the information by the close of business on Thursday. And the FTA legal staff, and probably more importantly their engineers, are in the process of reviewing specifically the Kinky Sharrow final assembly process to confirm that it complies with Buy America.
Okay. Okay, we have a protest, and so let me call up. We'll give the protesters each 10 minutes, and then we will go to the public comment. So the first protest would be the Seaman. And this is Michael Cahill, Laura Krista, Sergio Manriquez, and Peter Solomonson. And others that you may have. So you'll have 10 minutes to give your presentation, and then we'll ask the CAF group for 10 minutes, and then the Kinky Sharrow group will have 10 minutes, and then we'll go to the public. So.
And that's the clock?
No, you'll be 10 minutes. And they're going to correct that time so that... Reflect 10 minutes.
I think they got to do it twice. It's a maximum.
Huh? Oh, we're going to, once it goes to five, we'll get the other five. That's
okay. Thank you very
computers.
Much.
Computers, you know how they are.
Yes,
they
I
have
do.
The last word.
Thank you very much, Mr. Vice Chairman. Thank you very much, members of the board, for allowing us to speak here. Let me introduce myself and a little bit about our company. My name is Peter Solomonson. I'm a member of the managing board of Siemens AG in Germany, and I'm responsible for our business in North and South America. We're a big company. We do business in 190 countries. We have $100 billion in sales. We have 400,000 employees around the world, and we sell things from power plants to light bulbs all around the world. We have 60,000 employees in the United States, 5,000 of them here in California. In the last 10 years, we've invested $25 billion in this country. We believe in the United States, and we're adding manufacturing jobs around this country in North Carolina, in Iowa, in Kansas, and in California. So you can imagine my surprise when I was sitting in Munich and I read that the staff had told us that it would be unfair if our commitment to the United States were taken into account. And I had a little trouble understanding that. Unfair to whom? To Californians? To Americans? I'm an American citizen. I feel strongly about a commitment to this country that my company has made. We have never seen, in the 190 countries where we do business, a country want to send work, want to send jobs offshore. We've never seen this. We're perplexed. We don't think it's unfair to take our commitment to this state, to this country, into account. and we are confident that we will be able to meet all the technical and delivery requirements that the staff has asked for. We have a terrific track record all around the world. We sell high-speed rail, low-speed rail, metro, subways, and lots of places in this world, and we're very proud of our product. But to tell you more about those aspects, I'm going to turn to Mr. Cahill, who's an engineer who really understands these things, but I want to address one issue that I heard today which surprised me. Ladies and gentlemen, the FTA will not require you to buy a train built in Japan. That's the bottom line. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Honorable members of the board, my name is Michael Cahill, and I am the president of the Siemens Rail Systems Division for North America, serving the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. When Siemens entered the light rail business in the U.S. in the late 70s, early 80s, we employed a business model which involved importing key technology from overseas and performing only the minimally required final assembly here in the U.S. That model served us well for more than 10 years, until prompted by the forethought of the LAC MTA in the early 90s, we decided to engage in a much deeper investment, and we shifted our car shell manufacturing right here to Carson in California. This wasn't a simple task, and it was severely underestimated by us. Although we performed the manufacturing here in Southern California, we performed the engineering for all of that car shell work in Dusseldorf in Germany. That led to coordination problems and caused serious delays in the delivery of the vehicles to the LAC MTA and severe financial losses to Siemens also. Despite that, we persevered, and the plant in Carson continued to operate for 10 further projects serving 6 further cities in the U.S. and Canada. And then, as market conditions changed and there was a shift from high-floor light rail vehicles to low-floor light rail vehicles, we saw the need to further invest. At that point in time, we had the option of re-offshoring our car shell manufacturing. That was tempting because it would offer us lower costs, because we could combine the efforts of not just the North American market but also the market from all around the world, giving us economies of scale and access to automation. But we resisted that temptation because we believed in this market, and we believed in the investment and the high quality and high service that that brings to the market. We have since continued that investment, not just in car shell manufacturing. We've also taken the steps to invest and localize the very specialized manufacturing of bogey frames and propulsion equipment in the U.S. In fact, we've increased our Buy America content from the 60% minimally required to 80% here in the U.S. This has been a long-term commitment. It's been a long-term commitment, and it hasn't been an easy one. Because the market is a choppy market with few projects that don't allow you to benefit from the economies of scale, it's one that has involved us taking deep steps in our engineering, in our scheduling, and in our management of our projects. And this has paid off. I'm happy to report that in the last 6 years we have had no delays, we've had no vehicles that have been late. In fact, our vehicles have been early to our customers, and our customers have responded. More than 8 customers have placed repeat orders with Siemens in the last 10 years. We have a staff of almost 80 engineers in Sacramento and a total of 800 employees in Sacramento who work diligently at these contracts and are dedicated to this project. That staff of engineers understand the U.S. requirements, and the U.S. requirements, let me tell you, are different. They are higher requirements than they are around the world, and we understand that very well, and our engineers both understand that and embrace that challenge. Our desire with this P3010 procurement was to add Metro to the list of repeat customers within Siemens. We acknowledge that we had failures in the P2000 contract in the early 90s. We're here to tell you we have repaired those problems, and we've come out a stronger company. We see absolutely no concern with the delivery time frame of the 26 months for the first cars and the 4 cars per month thereafter. We believe that the MTA has a unique opportunity to both get high-quality vehicles from an American manufacturer and also to strengthen the U.S. nation, the economy of the nation at this time of need. But rather than rely on my commitment In my view, I'd like to hand over to one of our key employees who lived through the P2000 contract, and he can explain in his own words how Siemens has developed and matured over the last 10 years. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Sergio Manriquez. I'm the car sales manager at the Siemens facility, light rail manufacturer in Sacramento. I'm here to tell you firsthand how much the company has changed since the P2000 project. I started at our car shell plant in Carson as a temporary welder. Since then, Siemens has worked with me to develop both my technical and supervisory skills, and I am today passing those values and skills to my employees. I can vouch for all the changes that Michael just mentioned and share with you. When we had an issue come up back then, we will need to wait for a decision from overseas. Now that we have our capabilities here in the United States, we have structure, we are organized, and to get an answer, it's just a quick phone call to a building adjacent to our facility or a short walk down the hallway. I have a team of 100 American employees, and I will ask you today to consider our jobs are as important as jobs in Japan. Thank you.
Audience, just wait, your hand would be appropriate. Yes, sir.
Good morning, and thank you for considering the remarks that Siemens is making. I'm simply here to offer a solution to some of the issues that we're raising in a way that we might move forward. First of all, you could, of course, have the authority, and you have the authority.
Sorry, who are you, please?
I'm sorry.
Your name?
Sorry. I apologize. Laura Krista, legal counsel for Siemens, Krista and Jackson, right here in Los Angeles. You have the authority to award this contract to Siemens under your own rules today. In the alternative, you can delay a decision until, for example, your executive director has had a chance to rule on the appeals. And in fact, that's probably a good idea for a number of reasons. There's been a lot of materials each of you have been presented with. It's not clear that staff or members of the board have had an opportunity to thoroughly review the points that have been raised. In addition, it sounds like, from what I've heard, that the MTA, in fact, is still evaluating whether or not Kinky Sharyo is in compliance with the Buy America provisions. Now, one other alternative, and this may be the best one for the MTA, is to do a limited last and best final offer. And by doing that, you resolve limited issues which still remain, the first one being whether or not there should be a new U.S. jobs plan that includes data on all U.S. employees, existing and new, who will be supported by this contract. The second would be we could get a written clarification of any prior on-time delivery issues that the Metro still has questions about. And third, if a company is not building its cars in the U.S., including its prototypes, specific details about how they will comply with the federal Buy American requirements. And the fourth benefit really is that you could use that last and final offer as an opportunity to get the price even lower by directing the proposers before you to submit a last price proposal. All of this can be done in a very short time period. We are prepared, for example, at Siemens to get you information on those limited issues within 2 weeks. We submitted 1,000 pages before. We could limit it. You could limit it to each of the proposers doing it, for example, in 50 pages. This is not unprecedented. BART just did this in Northern California. They were faced with two companies and had to decide whether to award a rail contract to a company that did not propose the best U.S. jobs plan. And BART decided to put that decision off in order to do a further assessment on the job's impact and give the proposers one more opportunity to lower their price. Thank you very much for your consideration, and we hope that the proposals we've made have been useful.
Let me, our time. Have they had their 10-minute? They've had their 10-minute.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Any questions for us while we're here?
Questions? Director Fasana?
Just right there. I heard a reference to the Carson Shell plant. That plant is no longer open. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you.
When the market shifted away from high floor vehicles to a blend of high and low floor vehicles, we had to make a deeper investment, and we decided to do that and to locate that plant, co-locate that plant with our large engineering staff in Sacramento and California. That plant, all of the work that was being done in Carson is now being done in Sacramento and more besides.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's the CAF, Supervisor Yaroslav.
Can I ask a question to the council for, ma'am? In the various options you offered to the board, one of them was to do another best and final offer approach. Do you believe that would be fair to all of the bidders who would each have an opportunity? They all know, I assume they all know what everybody else's price was, for example. Your price was higher than at least one of them. Why would I not believe that your proposal was only designed to advantage your bid at the disadvantage of somebody else's bid?
Well, I think the response there, Mr. Yaroslavsky, would be that what we're really trying to benefit here are the citizens who live in the county of Los Angeles. And to the extent that there's an opportunity to address all of those limited issues, including the Buy America, including the delivery,
price. I'm just focused on the best and final idea you had, not on the Buy America. We'll deal with that later.
Understood.
I asked my question. You don't see any problem, any perception that might arrive from that kind of an approach that would advantage Siemens at the disadvantage of somebody who might have underbid Siemens?
There's more transparency. There's an opportunity if the MTA wishes to see if they can take advantage of one of the proposers being willing to reduce their price in light of the transparency that has come through this process and the fact that we now have all of the information on the bids.
But that's not the way typically bids work.
Well, it's a value bid.
It's not like a bid is a exhibition game and then we go into the playoffs. After we've all got a chance to see it. I understand what you're... I just want to hear... Can I ask Victor? Because I'm intrigued by the idea, but I think the one flaw in it is what I articulated. Am I off base?
No, you're right on. You're right on target. Anything that would allow for the offers to take another bite at the apple after all the proposals have been released. And let me just describe to you what we've done. We haven't just released the price, but public requests have come in from all three proposers. They all know each other's technical offers as well. We would be changing perhaps the evaluation criteria that we established by not defining that we would not only have a best and final offer, but then we would then conduct a revised best and final. So these would be changes in the evaluation criteria that we had not established initially.
Which could that expose us legally?
I don't want to speak to the legal issues, but we'd have to research that.
Mr. Director. And Mr. Chair, maybe I ask Kent to come back up again just to talk about this and maybe reference the Miami case and the overall issue of having all of the information been made public before we have the last best and final.
I think just reacting to this, you hit on the basic problem, and that is in the procurement process, the qualifications factors from one competitor than the other are not disclosed. The price is not disclosed. We now have completed the BAFOs. All the information has been disclosed because of the bid protests. So everyone has everyone's technical qualifications information. Everyone has everyone's price information. And I believe, Victor, they even have the evaluation materials. So not from a federal procurement level, that's a kind of the concept of technical transfusion or technical leveling. You can't, under federal rules, even go in a BAFO discussion and tell competitor A what is in competitor B's proposal, even during the process. So now we're saying the process is over, all the information is out there, and so anyone can cherry-pick any kind of qualifications, technical solution, anything that's in anyone else's proposal, and enhance their own proposal, and then bid against the established prices that up until the opening were not public. I think the issue would be there's certainly an approach that would be full of risk, and you would certainly open yourself up to protests if you took that approach.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, the CAF representatives.
Mike,
Supervisor, Mr. Katz.
Just while they're coming up, Kent, I just wanted to ask either you or Victor, did I hear in that last explanation that there was a round of last, best, and final already as part of the procurement?
Yes, that's correct. We conducted a best and final offer and completed that in December of 2011.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Virginia Verdeja, and I'm representing CAF USA as its vice president and officer. I'm here just to tell you or reiterate that CAF is a responsible proposer, that we have a track record of timely delivery, that we have a commitment to 100% Buy America compliance, that we have a realistic and committed U.S. employment plan, and that we represent a savings of $106 million to Metro. First of all, we are a responsible bidder, and as such, we advance to the last, best, and final offer in this process. We are also said we're responsible by the selection committee when in the meeting of March 15th, they said that CAF has the ability to meet and successfully complete the requirement of the contract. So the board should have no doubt in their minds that we can complete this contract on time and on budget. Secondly, we have a track record of timely delivery of rail cars in this country and worldwide. CAF has completed 18 programs in which we have delivered the first rail car in 24 months or under that. Moreover, just 6 months ago, Houston Metro awarded us a contract in which we have to deliver the first car in 24 months. Everything is going great in that program. So 30 months for the delivery of the first car to Metro is not a risk for us. We're fully capable of doing that. Also, the sureties have expressed the conformity that we will comply, and therefore they would bond us $800 million. Nobody does that, unless, least of all, a surety. They're very tight on risk. As far as the commitment to Buy America, CAF is 100% committed to complying with Buy America, both the letter and the spirit of the law. We have been increasing incrementally our investments in the U.S., and we have a fully capable plant in New York, and we're going to establish a plant here in the area to do the final assembly of the cars. As far as Buy America, what CAF represents is no questions. We're 100% compliant. We will do all our pilot cars here in the United States, and no potential delays in the initiation of your program, as you might have with others. Regarding our employment plan, we took a very conservative approach. We wanted to make sure that every promise we make will be fulfilled. We didn't want to inflate our numbers, which we could have done, inflate our numbers of jobs, and therefore raise our price. But hey, we thought we keep it to the conservative numbers we have, because after all, you'd be paying for it. We were very conscious of our bottom line and of the total cost of the program. We were the only bidder that identified a site where we were going to do the final assembly. And we did that more than a year ago. We put in our first proposal, and we put in a buffer. And that is the Lancet site in area code 90059. We also, more than a year ago, established a lot of relationships and partnerships in the area to make sure that our workforce and training would be available once we started the program. Finally, we represent 106 million savings to LA. That's not because anything else, but we have a lean organization. We have a risk minimizing strategy throughout the organization, and we can produce the cars at a much better price than anybody else. So, again, we represent the best value for Metro. We're responsible. We will timely deliver your cars. We will do that in full compliance with Buy America. We have a U.S. Employment plan in place, which is realistic and balanced, and we represent savings. We do not understand how a perceived marginal advantage can really be outweighing a very significant and real savings of $106 million that could be put to other transportation programs in the area. Thank you very much.
My name is Jitendra Singh Tomar. I represent CAF. Honorable members, I have a very brief comment here. As staff stated, that all three companies are responsive and good companies, and they are qualified. We all had issues in the past, and including the one which staff is recommending, they had issues with Boston project, which is true, and they had a lot of issues with the delivery, with the access weight, and they suffered massive losses, actually, and it's a fact. It's available. That information is public. So it's to say that everybody, that company has clean record, it's not correct, factually. Okay? Secondly, CAF has made significant efforts in this country setting up permanent factory upstate New York, Elmira, within 3 years of our business in this country. We invested in facility upgraded, including all testing facility for the pilot cars. Unlike the staff, the company which staff is recommending, they are here last 28 years. They have not a single permanent factory in this country. That is a shame.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Thirdly, this is the first time for Kinky Chariot to use this model, because in the past, it's fact that they have got the waivers on their pilot cars to do in Japan. And this is their first model, first experiment under these FTA, which is very stringent on the requirements. And CAF has offered a solid plan, manufacturing plan, from starting to finish with no if and buts, no gimmick, no spin. And we are here with the solid jobs, realistic jobs, solid manufacturing plan, and importantly, $106 million in this midst of this economic crisis. Are we willing to sacrifice that? Thank you.
Members of the board and directors, my name is Christopher Peterson. I'm an attorney for CAF in connection with the protest and appeal of Metro staff's recommendation of the contract to Kinky Chariot. We've heard a lot about a Buy America today. I'm going to talk in detail with that. As you know, the Buy America requirements provide that unless a waiver is granted, final assembly of all rolling stock, including pilot cars, must be done in the United States. The current FTA administration has made Buy America a top priority. In an open letter to contracting agencies and to manufacturers in February 2011, the FTA stated that they're going to impose a, quote, heightened standard, end quote, with respect to compliance with Buy America requirements for all projects. They also informed contracting agencies that the FTA, quote, has raised the bar for all Buy America waiver requests. All requests will be scrutinized. Please be cautious about leading your projects down a path where a Buy America waiver will be needed, as it is unlikely to be granted, end quote. That was followed up in May 2011 by testimony from FTA Administrator Rogoff to the U.S. Senate that further emphasized that Buy America compliance is a top priority of this administration. Now we look at Kinky Chariot's plan, and they simply don't comply with the Buy America requirements. As you know, the purpose of pilot cars is to validate the proposed design and production on a fully assembled car by conducting full type testing of all critical subsystems. Kinky Chariot's plan is to assemble pilot cars in Japan, conduct critical testing, including climate room testing in Japan, disassemble the pilot cars, ship the disassembled pilot cars to the United States, reassemble the pilot cars in the United States, deliver them to Metro without any further testing. In short, their plan does not comply with Buy America, and it's in fact non-responsive to the RFP. The RFP itself requires that climate room testing be done on pilot cars. This is confirmed by Kinky Shario's best and final offer that states, quote, the pilot cars will undergo conformance tests, including vehicle climate room tests. Logically, climate room testing can't occur on a car until it's fully assembled. Buy America requires that pilot cars be fully assembled in the United States. Despite these requirements, Kinky Shario proposes to assemble the pilot car and test the pilot car in Japan. So what next for Kinky Shario? That means they need an FTA waiver, or it has to fit within some type of exception to the FTA Buy America requirements. Metro staff has made clear that no waiver has been contemplated. Metro staff informed CAF that, quote, Kinky Shario at no time proposed the need for a Buy America public interest waiver from the FTA. Metro at no time considered that as an option, and thus Kinky Shario's proposed schedule was never based on the premise that it would receive such a waiver. So if Kinky Shario does not receive a waiver, how do they comply with Buy America? And the way that they attempt to do that is that their plan relies exclusively on a one-time, narrowly tailored exception that was provided to Kawasaki Railcar. In July 2010, the FTA permitted Kawasaki Railcar a one-time exception. In the first instance, they refused a one-time exception to the Buy America requirements. In the first instance, they refused to issue Kawasaki a Buy America waiver to produce, assemble, and test pilot cars in Japan. What they did do is permit Kawasaki to design, manufacture, and conduct limited testing of prototype cars in Japan. Now, that's an important distinction. The FTA Kawasaki exception is limited to prototype cars that, according to the FTA, quote, will not bear vehicle serial numbers and will not satisfy a milestone payment. What does that mean? In other words, the FTA expressly limited the Kawasaki exception to cars that were not intended to be part of the service fleet. It did not apply to pilot cars, as Kinky Shario is trying to make it happen in this case. In any event, the FTA is unlikely to approve Kinky Shario's plan.
Your time is now up, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Supervisor Yaroslavsky?
I'd like the staff to respond to that distinction between the prototype and the pilot.
I'd like to. At no time is the prototype or test vehicle that Kinky Shario will use for climate testing in Japan a milestone vehicle. It is not a vehicle that they'll get paid for. It's not a vehicle that satisfies any vehicle milestones. It is only being assembled for the purpose of performing a climate room test and a stress test. Those two activities are clearly approved by the FTA, not only in the rule site and precedent that that CAF's attorney has just described, but there's also a more recent ruling, as recent as December 2nd of this year, for Miami-Dade, where the FTA again states that climate room testing on a test vehicle may occur in a foreign country as long as that vehicle is not a milestone deliverable vehicle. Kinky Shiro's plan is to deliver all 235 cars, all pilot cars, all base cars, all option cars, and all of those cars will be fully assembled here in the United States, and all milestone payments for vehicles will be paid based on the full assembly in the United States and test of those vehicles, all functional tests of those vehicles here in the United States. And that's why Kinky Shiro does not require a waiver. We don't anticipate having to ask for a waiver, and we believe, and not only we, but our technical advisors, our legal advisors have all explained that this is all within the recent rulings provided by the FTA.
What recent rulings are you talking about?
There's two. The one from that council just described for WMATA, that's the so-called Kawasaki plan, and then a new ruling released by Dorval Carter, chief counsel for the FTA, just 2 weeks ago, April 2nd. And this is for Miami-Dade County, where they describe that climate room testing can be performed abroad as long as that vehicle is not a vehicle that is a milestone vehicle that is paid and delivered to the agency. And that's what we're doing in the Kinky Shiro case.
And you are certain that the Kinky Shiro bid is consistent with that with the Dorval Carter letter?
Our job really here is to apply the law to this transaction. What we have are the regulations, which are very clear on what's final assembly, and Kinky Sharro meets the final assembly test. We have two interpretations of their rules by Dorval Carter, and we can lay those against the Kinky plan, and Kinky is doing what is covered and allowed in those letters. In an exercise of due diligence, we have had communications with FTA, which I mentioned earlier, and we have transmitted to them last Thursday all of Kinky's plan for final assembly, all of the bid protests, all of the information on this procurement, and they have agreed to look at that information and confirm that, in fact, the Kinky plan is fully compliant with Buy America.
But on the natural, if it wasn't for this spat between the bidders, you would not have anticipated that the federal government, the FTA, would have had to give any additional approvals.
The only
thing that could have happened was they could have looked at it and said it doesn't meet, and veto basically.
No, sir. In a normal course of a procurement, you have a certification from the bidders. The Buy America regulations say you can rely on that certification. It in fact says a false certification is a crime. It also requires a pre-award and post-delivery audit, which is your way as a transit agency of validating both domestic content and final assembly. And both of those things are being done here. We have a pre-award audit, which I believe you can speak to that, but I believe is imminent in terms, and it goes through both issues in detail in terms of domestic content and the final assembly process, and is exactly what it says. And it's an audit to confirm that the certification is accurate.
So the gentleman who just spoke a minute ago from CAF, who said that the Kawasaki, that was the one in Florida, correct?
Well, they've coined the term the Kawasaki exception.
Okay,
Kawasaki was an interpretation of the regulations. It wasn't an exception.
Okay, but that's not my
rule.
That's not my point. My point is his statement that it was a one-time approval or exception.
That would be directly contrary to what we were advised by the chief counsel when we asked him, are these two precedents FTA interpretations that we can rely on, or have they changed? And we were told that they are still valid precedents. They have not changed. They're not viewed as exceptions. They're viewed as interpretations of the rule.
And who told you that?
Dorval Carter, the chief counsel of FTA, last Wednesday.
Can I just follow up on that?
I'm done.
Can I be?
If that's the case, if there's an overlap there, because we've always been told that, because I really don't care what happens in Seattle or Miami or Dallas, I want to make sure we have a clean procurement here. If we have some issues like that, why would we not go and get our own reading from the FDA directly? Not what somebody else did, but this is what's before us. This is what we're going to be recommending to the board. Do we have your approval?
But that's exactly what we've done. We have submitted all this information to FDA for them to confirm that in our case, in the Kinky Sharro final assembly process and plan, that it complies with Buy America.
I thought you were referring to the Seattle piece, no?
No, I said we relied on those examples in going through the earlier analysis. Now this matter has been transmitted by us to FTA with all of our information.
You have transmitted the FDA.
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Chair. Mayor Fasano and Councilman Hazara.
Yes, thank you. My question is, can you help me out with the term milestone vehicle? We mentioned that it's being assembled for climate testing, but it's not a milestone vehicle in the procurement. Can you help me out with that distinction?
Sure. One of the important rulings in the WMATA Kawasaki case is that the vehicle in question, the prototype vehicle, could not be a deliverable. Could not be an item that or a vehicle that was delivered and paid for as a milestone. And in our case, that is consistent. We are not paying for any test vehicles that are being assembled in Japan for the purposes of the test.
So this vehicle will never be delivered that's being tested to us?
Yes, correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So in our case, we have, you're not calling it a prototype, or you are calling it a prototype with what Kinky is proposing. Is it a prototype?
It's a test vehicle. Prototype.
So it is a prototype. And what you're saying is that past cases have said that a pilot vehicle is not acceptable but a prototype is so long as it's a test vehicle.
The ruling that we're using as the basis of the precedent states that the Kawasaki vehicle cannot be delivered to the agency. That prototype vehicle cannot be used to satisfy a milestone, and the reason for that is that the Buy America requirement calls for every single vehicle to be fully and finally assembled and tested in the United States, and that's the requirement for a deliverable vehicle that satisfies a milestone payment.
There was another case in Houston. How's that different or the same from what we're doing? Are you familiar with a case in 2010 in Houston?
The Houston case really dealt with a different set of issues, and one of the issues there was whether you could use local funds to pay for vehicles that were assembled in Spain and then actually used by the transit authority. So they were. That's my recollection of the case. I don't believe they had the exact issue we've got on point here.
Got you. And so what we're doing here is where you've submitted our paperwork, our documents to the FTA. We're using prior cases that they've ruled on to get a sense of whether we're following the law and the regulations or not. But we haven't gotten a final answer from the FTA.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chair, we've had probably more discussion over the last year with the FTA on this procurement than certainly much more than you would expect. We've had detailed discussions on the PLA. Remember, we have the only FTA PLA letter in the nation. This procurement, the reason for the discussions was to get to a point where we could include domestic content in the evaluating methodology. And the FTA agreed to this, first time in history. All of the issues which have been discussed here have been discussed on a regular and ongoing basis with the FTA for a better part of a year, or more than a year. So the reason we've done that is because our intense interest in domestic content is what led us to do that, to make sure that we were not going to be sideways with the FTA.
And when we did that, in those discussions, did we do it in the context of the proposals before us, or were we just seeking guidance as to what is the regulations, what are the rules, or did we know what the winning bidder's proposal was and get feedback on that specific proposal?
I'll ask Kent Victor to comment. We began the process before we had the criteria worked out. The evaluation methodology was approved by the FTA before we came to the board to ask the board to approve it. So this began long, long time before.
Yes, but what I'm asking is they haven't seen the specific proposals before us to make that evaluation, whether it complies or not. They have yet to give us a ruling on it.
And that's the process we initiated them. It would be unusual to take that issue to them. We did it in this case as just some extra due diligence.
Mr. Chair,
earlier issues on the jobs questions on having a U.S. employment plan, we dealt with extensively before we ever got proposals.
Okay, Mr. Najarian.
And let me just follow up on Councilman Huizar's concerns. What is the worst case scenario then? I mean, we're waiting for this, for the interpretation, the official interpretation by the FTA, not a advisory opinion, I guess, by their general counsel. Let's say that we award the contract to Kinky Shario, and there is a finding that a interpretation that it doesn't meet the Buy America. Where does that put this agency in terms of our process? I understand we feel that we'll be supported and FTA is going a certain way, but worst case, because we've got a very tight timeline. I think that's one thing everyone agrees on. We don't have time to rebid this and go back to square one.
Mr. Chair,
that means
Director, I think you put your finger right on a key point. This is indeed a risk management problem. On the one hand, we have a recommendation based on an evaluation which the FTA agreed to before we came to the board. On the other hand, if we make an award not consistent with that evaluation methodology, we are accepting a level of risk against this very tight schedule. In the case in Miami, it took the FTA pretty much a year to evaluate the procurement, which they ended up withdrawing federal funding from. Now, here's the worst case. We make an award here to one firm or another, and let's say it's one that does not conform with the evaluation methodology that the FTA agreed with. Let's assume it takes most of a year to get a directive from the FTA. At that point, I've, in anticipation of this discussion, I've asked our general counsel whether we could then rescind that award and then make an award to a different firm, let's say the one that conforms with the evaluation methodology. Could we do that? Two answers here. If we make an award and then have to rescind it, we're very likely would have a claim from that firm, the now losing firm, for whatever cost they incurred during that multi-month period. Secondly, I believe general counsel would say, and he can speak for himself, that by then the procurement is so convoluted that we'd be better off to rebid. So we could find ourselves in a position a year from now restarting this procurement. Now, looking at the lead times to get cars, which is years to get the assembly line up, we'd be looking at a lengthy period of time from now before the first car would arrive. Now, so then you have to ask yourself, so where does the greater risk lie? Where does the greater risk lie of an FTA intervention and a withholding of federal funds? Is it an award conforming with the FTA-approved evaluation methodology or not?
I mean, that gets to the question of have we asked the FTA to opine on this Buy America piece?
What they and actually it was more their initiative in terms of what they would do. They said they would give us they would confirm for us whether or not Kinky Sharrow's final assembly plan was compliant with Buy America. And that's what they're.
And when did they?
And literally, they're in the process of meeting today. I don't make time predictions on when FTA will respond, but they have certainly paid attention to it in a prompt fashion.
Well, the question is whether it'll be a matter of days or a matter of months.
I think it'll be a matter of days. That's my prediction, but I can't make guarantees as to when they act.
Because I think we are already on a critical path as we sit here today, and I mean, there are two rail lines that are depending on new cars, the Gold Line, Foothill Gold Line, and the Expo Line, phase two, and I guess phase one. And judging by the performance of our existing cars, we need the new cars sooner rather than later. So I just, before we get carried away here, I think we need to know what kind of time delay or time frame we're talking about to get this response to this narrow issue. But once we resolve this narrow issue, my bet is there's no end to the number of narrow issues that will be raised by losing bidders. So this could be a repeat of the Ansaldo Breda fiasco, where we went for how long? Almost a year?
Years.
With delays and postponements and just one more time. And then we ended up holding an empty bag.
Mr. Chair, what I would suggest that we do is get an approval of an award by the Board of Directors. We need to look at the protests that are made, resolve those protests, sign a contract, and proceed.
I would add one thing to that, and that is that the policies and procedures for Metro allow for the CEO to have that discretion, and the FTA would not allow approval unless they complied completely. So that action, that discretion by the CEO, must include the approval by the FTA for this narrow or any narrow question.
But one other thing is
can I intercede here? I do not want to walk away from here with the impression that this would take a year if we would to further look into what the FTA's response. We've asked the FTA, from what I understand, a very specific question related to the Buy America law and whether Kinky's proposal and as they propose to deliver the cars to us complies with that. It's a very specific question, which staff has told us they have. We're going to hear back with them within a few days. I don't want to leave from here that, you know, if anything other than approving this item today and rushing it forward, that it's going to be years. I mean, we're looking for an answer. We're trying to clarify that. And I think the question that Mr. Najarian asked was a very valid one, which was just, let's clarify, should they come back with a, no, it doesn't comply with the Buy America law, where does that leave us? But I don't think we should leave with the impression that if we don't look into that and get an answer from that, it's going to take another year before we get a final decision on what rail cars we're going to produce.
I agree it's the narrow point, but the question framed was having to do with the worst case scenario. That was the answer I gave.
Okay.
One thing on the worst case scenario, if even in the event we come back with some technical issue on final assembly, Kinky Sharo has made a certification they will comply with Buy America. Once they've done that, the regulations require them to comply and require them to fix any technical issue of noncompliance at no increase in their price. That's a legal obligation they have. So in what I think is a fairly unlikely event, it's their obligation, and we have their certification, and we can hold them to it.
Yeah, Mr. Weezer, just so you understand what my concern was, you have a question now, as a number of people do, about the Buy America piece. After that's resolved, there may be another question that requires a further delay, and then there will be another question and another question. That's what happened the last time, and that's what I'm concerned about. It's not about just this issue, but we've played this record before, and I think it was before your time on the board. I'm not sure, but we can't afford to do that again.
Okay. Now we have the questions. Kinko Sherrill, if they would come up for their 10 minutes. They wish to speak, and then we'll go into the public comment. We have about 100 people who have signed up.
100?
Your name for the record when you speak. And
good morning. My name is Donald Boss. I'm the project manager for Kinky Sherry International. Thank you for considering the staff recommendations to award this very important P-30 TED light rail contract to our company. As evidenced here and stated earlier, this was a very rigorous and thorough effort, and the most thorough that our company's ever participated in. And I can assure you, your staff did a great job for both Metro and the city and the county of Los Angeles. Our reputation for delivering high quality and reliable vehicles on or ahead of schedule is unmatched in this industry. The manufacturing that model that we propose for this contract has been perfected and successfully executed to deliver hundreds of vehicles to the U.S. Our company is exclusively focused on successfully delivering projects like the P-30 TED, and I'd like to restate the following. We have consistently delivered all of our vehicles on time. We have consistently delivered all of our vehicles on budget. Our vehicles are reliable and manufactured to the highest standards of quality. We are always FTA Buy America compliant, and we are on this contract as well. We have always been FTA DBE compliant, and we will be on this contract as well. And our customers are all extremely satisfied with our vehicles. As was stated earlier, doing something of this magnitude is not a simple task. And it's not a simple task, but it's a model that we have perfected, and the competitors now think it's a model that's a simple task. It's not a simple task, and it's a model that we have spent a lot of time, energy, and resources to make it work, and it does. And that's been evidenced by many of our customers' testimonials, both in writing to the board and also to the staff committee. Thank you for recommending to the staff for recommending this award to Kinky Sherrill, and we know that this is a very important contract for this community, and we intend to execute it as we have in the past.
I didn't catch your position.
I am the project manager for this project. Yes.
Lift the microphone up a little bit if you can.
And Supervisor, Mr. Boss will be the program manager here in Los Angeles should the NTP be issued. Directors, my name is Kobe King, representing Kinky Shario. We're in the home stretch today. We're very pleased about that. As Don said, and as Metro staff has made clear, this has been an incredibly rigorous procurement. You know, one of the things that we've heard over and over again, and Supervisor Yaroslavsky, you've made allusions to this as well, there have been a lot of problems with rail car procurements at this agency over the last number of years. One of the things that we've seen is that all of the sins of the previous procurements have been paid for by this procurement. Every single problem that you've had has been rigorously addressed. That's one of the essential truths about this procurement. It's been incredibly rigorous. Every I's been dotted. Every T's been crossed. It's been incredible. Staff has done a great job. You should be very, very pleased with them. The protesters have raised a lot of issues. None of them have any merit. I think staff also did a great job in answering the protests, the issues that were raised there. As I'm sure you've seen on many issues, if the facts aren't with you, either obfuscate or make them up, and that appears to be the strategy that we're seeing today. Don't be deceived. This is really, it's a great procurement. The main issue on Buy America, the main issues that we've heard, Buy America issue, again, the procedure that staff is now following to get the final confirmation from FTA is a double belt and double suspender strategy. It's pretty clear from the Miami letter, it's pretty clear from the Washington, D.C. Metro area letter that the process that Kinky Shario was proposing is completely Buy American compliant. I would suggest that if you do feel some issues, as counsel just said, should there be some kind of a technical violation, Kinky Shario has already committed to being Buy America compliant. This is, like many of the other issues that have been raised by the protesters, a red herring. Seems to me there's enough red herrings in these protests to feed all of Los Angeles, and I would certainly encourage you to reject them. You know, there's one last issue that I want to address about this procurement, and that is that the procurement was designed, and the various lobbying on FTA in terms of bringing U.S. jobs into it, the procurement was designed in order to increase U.S. jobs, to provide incentives for more U.S. jobs, and in fact, that's exactly what has happened. As you know, Kinky Shario has taken the model that they've used, and they have agreed to bring more functions that they normally do in Japan and bring them to the United States. They have agreed, as you all know, that should the options be exercised, there will be a rail car shell facility built in the United States, and that will, in addition to providing new U.S. jobs, will also increase rail car manufacturing competition, another really positive thing. Kinky Shario's proposal is good for the U.S., it's good for Los Angeles, and because of Kinky Shario's stellar and unparalleled history of delivering high-quality cars that work right out of the box, that are on time, that are on budget, that are on weight, this is clearly the best choice. Again, I want to thank the staff for the great job they've done. I want to thank you for your attention, and we're happy to take any questions at this time.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. You have a question?
Thank you. On your workforce development plan, we've read some materials as to whether there was a specific dollar amount in the proposals for workforce development and training. How would you rate your response to that?
What Kinky Shario typically does when we hire a workforce is we put them through a training program. We start off with a very extensive safety training program, and then we specifically get into the job functions that each employee will perform. We have worked for several years to develop very detailed instructions, and we have a staff of people that is very trained and talented at providing instructions. And depending on the work scope or the type of job being performed, we have that specific skill set providing the training. And what we've also done, and which is one of the reasons we've been very successful at our execution of the projects, is we've cross-trained all of our people, as much as they're willing to be cross-trained. And that gives us the ability to perform on time and execute on time. The methodology that we used could have never been successful had our approach not worked. And our approach works very well, as evidenced by our customers and the delivery of projects.
Councilman, if I could just add, the approach that Kinky Shario has used on all of its previous jobs that have been extremely successful has also resulted, as we've mentioned a number of times, in the fact that the folks that they train who put together these cars, who test them, and who are involved in the delivery of the cars, then know more about these cars than just about anybody else on the planet. And so, because of that, the transit agencies that are then building maintenance facilities to maintain and operate these trains often, very often, hire Kinky Shario employees into these full-time, long-term jobs because they're so well-trained and because they know these cars so well in and out. 170 Kinky Shario final assembly employees are now working today at various maintenance and operations facilities around the country where Kinky Shario has delivered cars. So that's a testament to the success and to the success of the model that they've used.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. We'll begin the public comment. I'll call up four at a time: Maria Durazzo, Rodney Shepherd, Shamari Davis, and Malika Tawafai.
Good morning, Board of Directors. My name is Marielena Durazzo, and I represent the Los Angeles Federation of Labor. And I'm here on behalf of hundreds of thousands of people who not only have jobs, but many more who don't have jobs. We are here today to express our proud support for the Siemens proposal. A contract of this magnitude can have significant opportunities on our local, regional, and national economy. That's why almost a year ago, we engaged with all bidders of a contract in a really fair conversation with them. And throughout our conversations, we talked about not only their responsibilities of producing on time and the quality of the trains, but also what about good jobs? What about good jobs in this country and careers that we need? And that had to be a top consideration. That is why a U.S. employment plan was proposed and moved. And it wasn't initiated by the MTA. It was initiated by the community. It was clear that Siemens is the best for our communities. And I want to remind us that Measure R, which we all worked really, really hard to approve, worked really hard knocking on those doors and doing everything possible. We made a promise to the voters. We said jobs and clean up the air. Don't forget that in making this decision.
Thank you. Wave your hands if you support. Use your hands and not your applauding. Yes. Supervisor Molina. About 100? 50.
Is it possible? I know that there are different people to limit it for a certain period of time, or otherwise we're going to be here at least another hour and a half. We do it at our board on a regular basis, and it is respectful of the Brown Act. I'm asking a question. You don't have to do it. I'm just asking.
It's if the board would like to limit each side to 20 minutes. We have a motion by Supervisor Molina to have a 20-minute for the pro, 20-minute for the anti, and
they're all pro different things. Yes, all they're all pro something.
Yeah. I have to do a Johnny Carson and.
Mr. Chair, I just don't know if you could easily distinguish between pro and con what. I mean, there's three proposals here. I guess what you're saying is pro the staff recommendation and against the staff recommendation. Is that what you're recommending?
I can't tell by the cards.
Yeah, it'd be difficult to tell to do. Have
some have no check.
Yeah,
can we?
Go ahead. Just
you went through a motion.
Okay, where are the votes going?
And then if you don't want to speak, you don't have to speak. Okay, yes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Shamari Davis. I'm a business representative for IBEW Local 11 Electricians Union, over 7,000 electricians here in Los Angeles County, and I'm a Los Angeles County resident, so this is very near and dear to my heart. I just want to urge the MTA board to really think about the self-preservation of the authority in which they're governing. We're talking about shipping our jobs to another country when this country is in dire straits of jobs, good jobs, of careers. Siemens has made, have a track record of making an investment in this country. Not Kinky Shario. They're just starting after 28 years. So why would we give the contract to somebody who hasn't had an investment? Siemens has made 99.68% of the top components of its rail cars is made right here in the U.S. We have to think about our citizens. We have to think about the families that are struggling. I urge the board to vote for Los Angeles County and not for Japan.
Thank you. Rodney Shepard, Malakot, TAWASUFI, Eric Lee, and I'll be followed by Blair Taylor.
Hello, my name is Malaika Tawasufi. I'm representing the African American Cultural Center. And I'm here today to address my statements to both the board, the MTA board, but especially to our mayor, Mayor Villaraigosa, to say that he is the worst mayor in the history of Los Angeles. Okay, and how dare you humiliate our communities by being a two-faced supporter of labor, okay? We don't appreciate your using our tax dollars to send jobs away, denying our citizens and our taxpayers an opportunity to have dignity-affirming lives and have a good and quality life while you send these jobs over to other countries. That's not fair. We don't appreciate it, and we would like very much for you to consider Siemens Corporation in terms of their commitment to the jobs here, and I hope you will take this into consideration, and I hope someone sends him a copy of this to hear, because it's just a criminal shame that he would do this to us at this critical juncture in our economy. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Reverend Eric Lee, and I'm president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference here in Los Angeles. Clearly, what is at issue is where you place value. Do you value providing jobs to the Los Angeles citizens, or do you value sending our jobs overseas? Do you value economic recovery in Los Angeles, or do you value supporting economic recovery in other countries? Do you value providing dignity to Los Angeles residents through the opportunity to work and provide for their families, or do you value the despair and hopelessness that has plagued our inner cities because of high unemployment? Today's vote carries with it the moral and ethical responsibility to provide Angelenos with the opportunity to live productively and have decent lives. I urge you to support Siemens as the best value for our communities here in Los Angeles. Thank you.
Good morning. Blair Taylor, President and CEO of the Los Angeles Urban League, and we're one of the largest workforce developers in LA County. I want to just quickly echo some of the comments that were made. We celebrated, commemorated, the 20th anniversary of the riots yesterday with many groups around Los Angeles. And everyone in this room knows that the economic tumult of 20 years ago was all about the economy and really the underlying economic conditions. Right now in South Los Angeles, we have 35 and 40% unemployment rates for African American males. We have an opportunity here to bring some of those jobs back. It's my understanding that the Siemens proposal will provide up to 500 or more additional jobs, good jobs, for residents of this city. What does it say about the lessons that we've learned over the last 20 years if we're going to ship those jobs to other countries? It is time to take a stand. It is an opportunity for us, and I want to make sure that we understand that people are counting on you to do the right thing for Los Angeles County. Thank you.
Abbott Ambata, AMBATA, Antonio Sanchez, Gortz Wolf.
This information we've heard about Kiki Shower today is just smoke and mirrors. This is a real deal. When the city council people...
Give your name for the record.
It's Ibidi Mbada, and I'm with the African American Cultural Center. When city council members and the mayor took oath for this office that you have, you swore the following. I do solemnly swear that I will perform with fidelity, that's truth, the duties of the office to which I have been elected and which I am about to assume, to uphold the laws of the land. And part of that holding the laws of the land is to make sure that you use our monies for our benefit. Our money, these are our monies and our resources for our benefit, okay? Not only is it immoral, it is also a crime that you would take jobs and send them over to another country. It just doesn't make sense to me. Okay. It's also against the president's plan for stimulating this economy. Somebody call President Obama.
Thank you.
Okay. No, you call him and you let him know that these people committing treason against his program.
Thank you.
Now, they may not be running for office this year.
Thank you.
But President Obama is. Okay.
Okay. Ma'am, your time is up. Ma'am, our time is up.
We learned that the criminals are not in South Los Angeles.
Ma'am, your time is up. Thank you. Okay. Mr. Wolf, and then Mr. Sanchez, or either one. I mean, whoever's first, go ahead.
Turn that switch back on.
Thank you for that.
Hi, good morning, directors. My name is Antonio Sanchez. I find myself today in front of you as a graduate student from UCLA focusing my research on manufacturing. I've worked shoulder to shoulder with some of you and some of your staff. And today I'm here to respectfully ask that you consider what you're doing. Just let's think about this. I don't want to just say jobs because we do want more jobs. We don't just want some jobs. We want a lot of jobs in Los Angeles, in our county. My dad's an MTA bus driver. He put his family through. We lived in Pacoima for a few years. I'm from the Northeast Valley. Paid my tuition at Cal State Northridge. Got us through with that union job. I'm just about to graduate with my master's from UCLA. And this is what we're talking about. This is the jobs that we're talking about. These are the issues. It's not just the $300 million. It's not just a few numbers in the report. Take a look at the report that our colleagues passed. Check tab 5. This makes sense. We want good jobs, good union jobs.
Thank you, sir. After Mr. Wolf, I'm calling up Doug Smith, Paulette Gibson, and Leon Jenkins. Yes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Getz Wolf. I live in Los Angeles, and for the past 15 years have been on the faculty of the UCLA Urban Planning Department. I'm really here concerned with the staff recommendation because the staff relies upon a multiplier of 1.4, which perhaps should be considered as a dubious one because there are alternative ways of measuring a multiplier, especially for rolling stock. The Economic Policy Institute, a nonpartisan organization, identifies the multiplier of being 2.7. The result of that multiplier actually increases the value of the bid by Siemens to the point where Siemens would probably be the best value for Metro and the people of Los Angeles. I urge you as an urban regional development expert to think about the long-term implications not only of the narrow dollar figure but the value of the jobs for the region.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning. My name is Paulette Gibson, president of the Compton NAACP, third vice president of the state of California. I'm just here to urge you to think about the high unemployment in our community and the fact that we cannot afford to have jobs that are sent overseas when our own communities are destitute and hurting. and desperate for the economy to turn around. In order for us to help our community, we need good jobs, good union jobs that will pay them, have benefits for them, that our people can come out and be self-sustaining in our own communities and give back to the community, pay taxes where they live, and not pay taxes to have their jobs sent overseas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Doug Smith. I'm here with the UCLA Urban Planning Program. In December 2010, the Metro staff did an industry survey of North American rail vehicle projects in order to determine if the aggressive delivery schedule for this current project could be achieved. The current contract requires a delivery of 4 cars per month compared to the industry standard of only 2. The survey looked at 16 transit agencies in North America, including projects completed by all 3 bidders on this contract. The survey results showed that Siemens was the only company that has been proven to successfully deliver at a rate of 4 cars per month. Thank you.
Thank you. Leon Jenkins, Gary King, Ronald Mayfair, Chimbuko Tembo,
they were the most constrained.
Eon Elder, Ryan Gales,
good morning, board members. My name is Chimbuko Tembo. I'm associate director of the African American Cultural Center. For the board of directors, I'm referring to document number 1 in your binder. Of the 3 bidders, Siemens is the only company that has approached the community and that has committed $5 million in job training. I'd like to say more. I'd like to bring out some yellow tape, call the mayor's name out or do something like that, anything to get your attention, because there's kind of like a cold, calculated feeling in the room, just to be honest. We're talking about people's lives. You know, you've heard references to the revolt of 1992. You've heard people say, you know, why would you send jobs to Japan when we so desperately need the jobs here? So I don't know if you could peel back some layers, you know. Time, there's an African proverb that says sometimes the first step forward is actually a step back. So maybe you can go back, rescore the bids. Just think, we're talking about the lives of human beings. Thank you so much.
Good morning, Board of Directors. My name is Ian Elder. I'm from the UCLA Department of Urban Planning. I live in West Los Angeles. I've been doing research on the railcar manufacturing industry at UCLA. It's clearly important that for these railcars to be delivered on time, and Siemens has a solid track record. If you turn to the chart entitled P3010 Railcar RFP U.S. Light Rail Past Performance, which is tab 5 in your packet, you can see that for the past 8 years, Siemens has completed delivery of its light rail vehicles on time. You can also see that out of the 3 firms, Siemens has the highest volume of perfect order. Since 2004, Siemens has had perfect completion for 11 out of 11 orders. Thank you.
Thank you.
Honorable board members, my name is Ronald Myfile. I'm a summer helper with IBW Local 11. I believe that Siemens has proven with the open mind, driven, and most importantly, dedicated people, like I see here before me. 360 employees spread at over 190 counties have already generated revenues of about $120 billion in the fiscal 2011, striving for the same thing myself is striving for, and that's to make a difference. So I stand here before you as a product of Saturday Night Lights, and I ask before you, board members, how long was Saturday Night's live? Siemens has taken initiative to reach out to the community. In 2008, Mayor Villagosa has created Saturday Lights, which has created 75 jobs and fed over 200,000 at-risk teens. Today, that program has created 250 jobs and has fed over 700,000 homeless and poverty-stricken youth. So I'm here before you and ask you today to think about the choice that you're going to make and give Siemens the opportunity to give jobs to the Los Angeles County residents. Thank you.
Okay, Ryan Gales, Gary King, Moravia Aver, A-N-E-V. Linda Perez.
Good morning, board members. My name is Ryan Gales, owner of PTOS, a minority, disadvantaged, and small business company, also supplier and supporter of Siemens. There are three points I would like to raise. The first one being, how was Kinky able to achieve the 60% Buy America score when they are producing more than half of each car in Japan? Final assembly is only 40% of the process. The math is right there. Earlier, the Kinky representative made a very good point about making things up, as he stated. During the committee meeting, the point was raised of Kinky falsely and blatantly using the names and logos of organizations in their proposal in which they have formed a partnership. Their response was nothing more than a mere oops. MTA has a history of rejecting proposals that had false or misleading information containing in their proposal. Why, in this case, is MTA ignoring their own policies? How was Kinky able to achieve such a high U.S. jobs value as compared to Siemens when Kinky will produce 100% of the cars in Japan and not build any type of permanent facility until after the base contract? I stand here before you as a native Los Angeles.
Thank you.
And thank please you. Do not send our jobs overseas.
Thank you, sir.
Put them here. Thank you.
Good morning, Board of Directors. My name is Mirbai Auer, and I represent the University of Southern California. I work at the Program for Environmental and Regional Equity, and I've been working with many of the students from UCLA directing their research. And I'm going to refer to some items in document number one. First, of the three bidders, Siemens is the only company that currently has a permanent, full-scale light rail manufacturing facility in the U.S. Siemens is also the only bidder that has U.S.-based design and engineering for its products. And finally, Siemens is the only bidder that has committed $12 million investment in a U.S. factory. Don't send our jobs overseas. Create American jobs in our communities with our money. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Board of Directors. My name is Linda Nguyen-Perez, and I am a researcher with the LA Alliance for a New Economy. I have read and reviewed all 7,000 pages of contract proposals when they were released to the public, and according to the MTA's labor value form submitted by the proposers in the P3010 bids, Siemens is clearly the leader in the job creation in the United States. For the Board of Directors, I am now referring to document number one in your packet. Looking at the number of U.S. jobs creation for the 235 rail cars, Siemens creates 1,176 jobs in the United States, as compared to 204 jobs for CAF and 253 for Kinky Shario. Please keep jobs in the United States and consider this investment in our communities. Thank you.
Thank you. Gary King, Leon Jenkins, William Smart, Kevin Norton, Rosine Taylor, Madeline Junis, you can line up. It'll be easier. Okay.
My name is Reverend William Smart. I work for Lane, and I'm also a local pastor. And we're very concerned because the companies that were responsible for putting these bids together, the first most important thing is the RFP for employment plan language that requires that companies create partnerships and workforce developments and training programs to create a range of quality and career path jobs. You know what? I take the metro every day. I gave my car up for college tuition to take the metro every day. As a Metro rider, I'm not concerned about the lateness of cars. I'm concerned about the jobs. When I get in that car, when I get on the bus, I want to know that it's made as best as possible in America. I campaign for Measure R2. I walk the streets. I want to ensure that my money goes back to the community supervisors and MTA directors. It's very important that this stays in our community so we can infuse this and create the types of jobs
Thank
that
you,
will
sir.
Make successful citizens. Thank you, Mr. Antonovich.
Or the people listed before me. My name is Madeline Janis. I am the National Policy Director at the LA Alliance for a New Economy. I'm also an attorney with 25 years experience in economic development around job creation. I'm a little bit dumbfounded by some of the things I've heard from Mr. Leahy and from staff. When I looked at this procurement, I saw, like many others, very serious Buy America compliance issues. These are not minor, tiny issues. It's the second part of Buy America is about assembly in the United States. Number one, pilot cars have to be made, assembled in the United States. And number two, there has to be a specific site identified for that assembly by the proposer. I was so concerned about this. I was in Washington, D.C. I personally went and met with Dorval Carter, chief counsel of the FTA, and his staff last Monday. And I said, has the MTA contacted you? Do you intend, do you expect that the Kawasaki letter that's on your website, do you see that as guidance that Metro staff should just be able to use? Or do you want them to consult with you and get guidance? And number one, they said, we want them to consult with us. We want them to get guidance ahead of time. I have a lot more to say on this issue. I do believe that this is serious and that you must wait for the FTA guidance, which was only sought after I brought this issue back and insisted that there has to be an answer so that there is not a Houston situation. And Houston situation was exactly like this. I have looked over the findings, read it in detail, and it is exactly like this. And the consequences to Metro there were grave. They had to start the procurement from scratch.
Thank you.
I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Rosine Taylor-White, and I'm an assistant principal for operations for Los Angeles Unified School District for our vocational training programs. And my major job is to find opportunities of employment for our students. Now, for the last year and a half, we have been in collaboration with CAF and Volunteers of America for our veterans program to train and get them jobs here locally. Now, what I'd like for you to consider is that CAF has no risk in their plan. It's 100% in compliance with jobs Buy America, and the project is ready to start now to build a company working with our vocational programs to provide a boost in this community, in our educational system. So we need you. And I ask you to help save our community.
Kokie Kajeta Lane and Rabbi Klein, followed by John Yonai and Jose Camacho.
I think Kokai left. Hi, my name is Rabbi Jonathan Klein. I'm with Clergy and Laity, United for Economic Justice. And some of the things that we heard here today are very concerning to all of us. I think it's important to start off that when Dr. Wolf spoke about the economic multiplier, it has real value. And so that Kinky Shario's proposal is not significantly to be defined as best value. That's a number that is in play. I just want to say, do you want to risk failing the Buy America criterion and sending things into a tailspin? That will cause the real delay. Nothing can compare to that. And even if they do pass that criterion, that's passing it by the letter of the law. But there's also the spirit of the law, and some have made mention of this. We're talking about the spirit of trying to rebuild an economy in the United States. We can't let this go. This is an opportunity to help do so. The community here has no defenders for Kinky Shario's proposal. I think that might say something as well. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning, board members. My name is John Yonai. Our firm, Tierra West Advisors, has been working with Kinkishario for 18 months, looking at over 30 sites in the Los Angeles Basin. Kinkishario brought on our team to collaborate on the P3010 real estate efforts some time ago, and we're a local Los Angeles-based firm in Boyle Heights, which is a hub zone. We are pleased to work with an international firm that delivers a growing product, or fantastic product, to meet the transportation needs of Los Angeles. We are a multidisciplinary and ethnically diverse firm. Our staff is made up of seasoned professionals, as is Kinkishario, and they have a great reputation for delivering high-quality projects on time and on budget. Our experience is clear that they are dedicated to a team approach, strong work ethic, and fairness. Tierra West appreciates MTA's outreach and commitment to small businesses and minority enterprises such as Tierra West. Thank you again, and we hope you support Kinkishario and their efforts.
Thank you.
Good morning, board. My name is Jose Camacho. I'm an employee for Kinkishario for over 12 years. I started my career for Kinkishario during the final assembly phase in light rail vehicle in New Jersey for the project of Hudson Bay Light Rail, similar with the one that you have over here in L.A. During those past 12 years, I was provided excellent training and given an opportunity to advance my position. My career started production and assembly. I have since been promoted to maintenance chief supervisor, and now I am a maintenance coordinator for the same light rail vehicles, and I helped building for these 12 years. I believe I joined Kinkishario team was the best career decision I ever made. We are treated like we are part of the family and not employee of the big company. I am only one of many employees that they've given to exact same opportunity to advance. I work hard for contribute for
Thank
the
you,
success
sir.
Of a project.
Thank you. Steve Proctev, Donald Boss, Corey King.
Good morning, board. I'd first like to compliment you on what I think is a very thorough and complete process here. I've been an employee.
Give your name for the record, though.
My name is Steve Proctor. I've been an employee of public transit for 30 years. I was the project manager in Seattle. I've retired since from Sound Transit, but I was originally the manager of the Kinkishario project there. I was responsible for delivery of 62 light rail vehicles. The vehicles that Sound Transit received were manufactured in a quality manner and delivered ahead of schedule. Our contract in Seattle did not require local assembly, but Kinkishario chose to assemble the vehicles locally according to their manufacturing model. They are committed to the local operators. As a result of their excellent employment program, training program, we were able to hire several of their staff.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Hey, Donald Boss, Corey King.
Supervisor Don and I will both pass.
Okay.
I will also pass. Thank you.
Okay. Alan Weeks, Dennis Zane or Zav? No. Marvin Williams? Yes, sir.
Yes. My name is Alan Weeks. Good afternoon. A week ago, the LA Times carried a story about the deferred maintenance on the Blue Line and how the cars were breaking down more frequently. I wonder if they should have also talked about deferred leadership by the board. Where was the board during the last 10 years? Over 3 years ago, the board rightly, I think, canceled the option for the Breda rail cars, but that was 3 years ago. Those cars were needed 3 years ago and are desperately needed now. Why have 3 years passed without a new rail car order? With the opening of the new Expo line, there is no surplus of cars. There are no spares. If cars are not ordered now, I doubt if there will be enough cars to open Expo Phase 2 and Foothill Gold Line Phase 2 in 2015. A delay in ordering cars is no longer an option.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I'm Marvin R. Williams with the African American Culture Center. I just wanted to say there's no doubt in my mind that you people have already made up in your mind which way you're going to go with this contract. I just want to say do the right thing and do the wise thing, because what you saw in 92 you will see revisited if you do not do the right thing. Thank you.
Board members, I'm Denny Zane. There are several important differences with earlier discussions about the Ensalo Breda issue. One, your staff report indicates that you can clearly have confidence in all three of these competitors as to their ability to deliver on time quality product to you. That is not the issue that is before you. I believe that when voters voted in November 2008, they very much had jobs on their mind, not just system development, but job creation. Remember, the collapse of September 2008 was merely 2 months prior to the voters' vote, and that should be, I think, on your mind as well. Job creation, unfortunately, seems to have been an afterthought in the criteria of the RFP, treated as an offset on price rather than as a standalone criteria of its own. Were it to be a standalone criteria, the fact that you have essentially competitive companies, the fact that Siemens has brought forward a superior job program would, I think, be the determining difference in this case. Think about the long-term implications of recreating this industry in our nation.
James Lindsay, Mark Angulifu, Craig Raphael.
Mark Tungalipu from the Afro-American Culture Center and the Community Action Committee. I want the board to look into making Siemens the best for our community, and don't be dazzled with the dance of facts that King of the Show Me has. Don't violate and participate in the right decision. Thank you very much.
I'm James Lindsay. I'm with the Amalgamated Transit Union, Local 1277. I represent the members that will be working on whatever vehicles you tend to purchase today. We do stand for good American union jobs. My members represent that. The problem that I want to bring up, or the issue that I want to bring up today, has to do with once these cars are purchased, 10, 15 years from now, my members have the problem of repairing them. And their hands are tied behind their backs when this happens, because they're not provided with the proper equipment to do this. The components are sent to subcontractors on the outside, and they either come back fixed or not fixed. And then we have the problems that we're having with the trains not being able to run properly. So I would ask you to make sure that we have the support that is needed, the equipment that is needed, to make sure that we can repair the vehicles, because no matter which one you purchase today or in the future, we're going to be the ones having to repair them, and we're going to need that support. Thank you.
Good point. Very good. And we'll have staff respond to that as well.
Good morning, Board Directors. My name is Craig Raphael. I'm from the UCLA Urban Planning Program. There are very few suppliers in the U.S. that support the light rail industry. There's a lot of crossover and sharing of vendors. Both Siemens and Kinki-Sharyo share two suppliers, Translite, which produces signs, and Delner, which produces couplers. When Siemens contacted these suppliers, they indicated that no new jobs would be created from the Metro contract. Kinki-Sharyo, however, indicated a higher number of jobs to produce the very same rail car components. Therefore, we wanted to call into question Kinki-Sharyo's job creation numbers. Thank you.
Call up Robert Zardenta, Zardenta, Aviar Ortez, Elsa Barboza.
Good afternoon, leaders of the LA Metro. My name is Elsa Barboza, and I represent SCOPE. We're a community organization based in South Los Angeles that works to organize the community, black and Latino families, and make sure that there are solutions for good jobs and pipelines for our communities. We are one of those. Kinki-Sharyo listed our name and logo in their RFP and described us as community partners. They did this without consulting us on the project and or asking our permission to use our name. We believe that this was calculated to generate the appearance of community support. And in fact, if we would have been asked, we support Siemens. The reason why we support Siemens is simple. 40 to 45 jobs and a promise of a pipeline, that's the okey-doke. The day after 20 years of the commemoration of the LA riots, building the LA factory is the future for Los Angeles. I want to call on you today to take a bold
step. Thank you.
For public investment.
Thank you. Thank you.
To create real jobs for Black and Latino families.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Also going to call up Marvin Kropte, K-R-O-P-T-E. Yes, sir.
Hello. My name is Javier Ortiz, and I am a student with La Causa. As a young person, all I want in life is the opportunity to go to a good school and to one day enroll into a well-middle-class job. Through organizations like La Causa, I've learned the skills necessary to find a career in transit. I just want to finish school and, when I graduate, have the opportunity to have a secure middle-class job. I want to have the opportunity to live the American dream, to be able to provide for my family and save enough money to go to a commendable university and contribute positively to our society. Siemens is the only company that can make this a reality. So on behalf of the students at La Causa, we support Siemens because they will convey as an example for hope, transform lives in the American economy, and hopefully communities like East LA. Thank you.
Good morning, board directors. My name is Marvin Kropke, and I'm the business manager of International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local Union 11, and we represent over 7,000 members in Los Angeles County. I think what you've heard this morning is a strong staff recommendation from Mr. Leahy, except that as of last Thursday, they hadn't done their homework. They don't know, and they haven't been able to tell you today that they comply with the Buy American. They can't tell you that today, even though this process has been going on for how long? As of last Tuesday, last week, we met with the mayor, with the staff, and they said they're essentially, they've downloaded a letter in terms of interpreting that as a policy of the FTA. That doesn't have to do with the facts and circumstances of what is going on here. It's incredible that they have put you in this position that wants you to vote on this and you don't know the answer to that. I ask you to do your due diligence. And, well, they've had the same expert for how many years now and have never done this due diligence in terms of Buy American.
Thank you.
Do your due diligence.
Thank
Find
you.
Out whether this complies.
Second time we're calling Koke Kajita and Omawali Tambuli. And those are the, after they speak, are the last that we have cards for. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Omawali Tambuzi, and I'm with the African American Cultural Center. And I'm trying to sit here and make sense out of what's happening and compare to the information that we received in our community that Siemens would produce twice as many jobs as the company you say is producing sizable creation of jobs. Siemens will build a plant here in this country to hire and train people in this country. So I was just trying, with the economics and what's going on, I was wondering why we're really going through this. I'm just trying to make sense. And then I'm looking at your paper here, and it says you're doing something that's best for Metro. But what about the people?
Yeah.
What about the people?
About
yes. And also it says, and I'll end with this, only got 7 seconds, says staff has also adequately budgeted necessary travel expenses to ensure performance of the contract. Looks like
thank you, sir.
Got trips to Japan going
yeah.
on.
Thank you. And then one point on the the internet, that issue relative to that was
raised. Yes, sir. As has been said, this evaluation, this recommendation is fully compliant with the evaluation methodology which the federal government agreed to. There's been much said here about jobs. I'd like Victor to present some information on jobs as conforming to the federal requirements and this evaluation. Victor?
If I could have the screen. The table you see before you is a description of a breakdown of the U.S. jobs value and the jobs, the number of hours by FTE, from an apple-to-apple comparison. If you'll look at lines 9 and 10, you'll see the actual values that the FTA directed us, approved, that we look at in terms of the trade-off. They were very clear. They did not want us to score the jobs, but they would allow us to do a trade-off against price, and that's the trade-off, using the economic multiplier that they approved. To look at the jobs, if you go all the way down to line 31, you will see in column B, that's Siemens, column C is Kinkishiro, and column D is CAF. Those are the estimated number of jobs to be created in the United States by all three. 391 jobs for Siemens, 348 jobs for Kinkishiro, and 205 jobs for CAF. Those are consistent with the values of the wages and benefits in line 9. I want to also talk about very briefly about
Before you move on,
Director Katz.
Thank you. You're talking about numbers of jobs or value of jobs? Because the reason I ask the question, if somebody uses part-time work versus full-time, how do those numbers all compare here? And, you know, I just want to make sure we're talking about the same thing across the board.
Sure. And that's a good point, because there are different ways to satisfy a job. You can hire part-time workers to satisfy the task to be performed, and the number of hires can be looked at from many different perspectives. One could be peak hires, the number of peak employees that you might hire for a short given period of time while you perform some tasks. So really the best way, we believe the apple-to-apple comparison of the jobs that are going to be created are really to be looked at from a FTE perspective. And if you look at the base years, I believe the numbers that have been thrown out, the 500 job years, those are FTE equivalent years. And if you look across, 553 for Siemens, 557 for CAF, and 421. These are job years, that would be an apple-to-apple comparison for the base.
And can I?
I'm sorry, 553 for Siemens, 557 for Kinkishiro, 421 for CAF.
And then,
Abby?
And that you have to count those or validate those based on whether the jobs are here or whether in Sacramento.
Those are jobs to be created anywhere in the United States, and that's what we're validating.
Because a lot of the Siemens jobs are in Sacramento, as I understand it.
That's correct. They have a facility in Sacramento, and they will perform the car shell and frame fabrication, and will be doing final assembly in Los Angeles. But I want to also state that all three propose to perform final assembly in Los Angeles. That's a commitment that all three have made as part of their offer.
Let me just note, we did not evaluate the Los Angeles jobs, but all three firms did propose Los Angeles jobs.
Yeah, I understand that, you know, the Buy America issue is America, not...
Can we kind of go back a little bit, and I'd like to ask a little bit more about the process. Last month, I thought we were going to take this item up, or at least last board meeting, and it was deferred. Why was it deferred?
I believe it was deferred to this meeting at the request of a board member.
Okay. And was there a protest filed?
There were two protests filed on March 27th.
What's the status of the protests?
Staff has administratively denied both protests, and on the on last Wednesday, the I believe the 25th of April, both protesters have appealed to the CEO, and Mr. Lay is currently considering those appeals.
Is there a timeline associated with the response to an appeal?
Generally speaking, we try to respond to protests and protest appeal within 45 days. But certainly we would try to, we always try to respond to them as quickly as possible.
Okay. Now, my understanding is that the reason for these procurement at this time is that we have a couple additional rail lines that will be opening up that will somehow coincide with the timeline for this work in process for these cars. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Can you talk a little bit more about the timelines? I know this past weekend we had a lot of excitement and euphoria with the Expo 1 being opened up, and my understanding is that we'll have Expo 2 and the Gold Line extension. Can you talk a little bit about the timelines with respect to those openings, these cars, the cars that we're talking about for this procurement contract, and whether there will be additional needs for cars on the Blue Line and the Expo 1 line before we get to that?
Mr. Chair, if I might make a comment before we turn over. It's appropriate to go back and remember the situation we had with Breda. We tried to make an award. I've been here 3 years. 3 years ago to Breda, actually more than 3 years ago, for a variety of reasons, that never occurred. The Breda contract was canceled about a year after I arrived, so about 2 years ago. Those cars were anticipated against the Gold Line, Foothill Extension, and Expo 2. At that time, we were projecting or requiring two cars per month. Because of the two-year, three-year delay which we've incurred, we hiked up the requirement to four cars per month in order to catch up with the current schedule. Now we really face two requirements. One is the immediate one is what you've just said. Behind that, though, there's also a need in a few years to retire some of the older cars. With that, let me turn it over to you guys, Victor. And
sure. If you look at the table that's displayed, and the schedule here anticipates the contract award in April 2012. And with that, the first pilot cars would arrive June 2014, but the first and those cars will be used for qualification tests here, a vehicle level qualification test. The first series cars, production cars, will start arriving approximately 9 months later in February 2015 at a rate of four cars per month. So when the first need for Expo Phase 2, 47 cars, and Foothill 2A, 15 cars, we will need 62 cars in September 2015. At that time, we will have 28 cars having been delivered and conditionally accepted, leaving us 34 cars short. At a rate of 34, at a rate of four cars per month, the full 62 will not be here until 8.5 months later, in May 2016. Then the next need will be in June 2018, 28 cars for Crenshaw, South Bay, LAX, and also to replace the 16 cars that were borrowed to start up Expo 1. The cumulative need will at that time will be 106 cars, but with the delivery rate, we should have caught up, and we'll have 160 cars at that time.
So if I understand you correctly, these the cars, I didn't hear the full answer. I see the CEO has taken off. Perhaps you guys have the answer. What was the shortfall?
Paul has the information.
The shortfall of the cars from the Breda contract. I'm sorry, Mr. Taylor, I didn't see you there.
Director Wilson, I believe the Breda option would have dealt with the 62 that are shown there as needed for September 15.
And what caused this problem with Breda?
There was a series of problems, promises of local jobs, as I recall. There were multi-years of delay. These cars, this option was exercised around 2004 or 5, somewhere like that. yet there was lengthy delay. In addition to that, the cars were did not comply with the specifications. The cars were overweight, but they were narrower than the specification required. So there were a series of problems. When I arrived 3 years ago, Breda's counter to this was to offer a variety of sweeteners and kind of drug out the whole thing for about a year, maybe a little longer, at which point when we held their feet to the fire against that which they had promised, then on a certain date they declined to exercise or to sign the contract to deliver the cars.
The seats were smaller and the height was, I mean, the much more for a smaller population than Los Angeles.
So we're healthy
here. More a shape population than Los Angeles is what you're implying.
So what lessons have we learned from the Breda experience with respect to performance once we enter into a procurement contract that's approved by the board? What lessons have we learned to make sure that whoever we choose actually performs to the standard that they say they're performing to?
Excellent question. I think there's at least two giant lessons. One is to do a procurement based on best value and not just low cost. The Breda car procurement was low cost. This one is based on the combination of factors which we've been discussing today. The second one is I think that MTA did inadequate on-site oversight of the cars, of the design work as that was going on. That is the reason why we will have adequate project management oversight by MTA staff, and that is in fact the reason for the travel budget, so that that we can have people there to do whatever is required to ensure that we're getting a car which complies with our specifications and the value that we expect to receive.
Now, all the three proposers, are they saying that they can meet these deadlines with respect to the number of vehicles that we need with the timelines that we need them in?
They do, yes.
And have they all been verified that they actually can perform at that level?
Well, this is where the past performance question and evaluation factor comes in, and we looked at past performance. And we found that Kinky Shiro had the best past performance. One of the other factors that we learned and what we applied to the P2550 is that we weren't just going to evaluate based on what they said. We were going to go back and look and reference check, and that's what we did in past performance.
Were they comparable with respect to the delivery and past performances, or was there big disparities between what they did in terms of their on-time performance and on cost as well?
Well, what we found, the biggest difference was what we found was Kinky Shiro's never been late, and that's a very impressive record, and were evaluated highest in that particular criteria. The others have had some issues, and we addressed those. And they were scored, we believe, fairly and according to their past performance.
Did Kinky Shiro also have a level of experience, or is it just one project that they delivered and they were on time with that project, so they get 100%?
They've, based on what we've seen, they've had 15 projects over the last 28 years, and we could not find anyone who could say that they were late. And we looked at, we specifically talked to clients going back to 2004, we couldn't find anybody who could
say
they were late.
And how is that level of experience compared to the other two?
Well, Siemens was late here.
I mean the number of car contracts.
CAF has had 2 car contracts in the United States. Siemens has had 15 in the last 28 years. I'm sorry, Kinky Shiro has had 15, and Siemens has had.
You want to make sure you look at your notes,
because yeah.
I want to hold you to what you're saying.
Yeah, do we have the number?
Victor, comment on the evaluation of the management team and that sort of thing as well, the whole thing that you did in terms of the evaluation.
We performed an evaluation of all the project management teams, and we found that Kinky Shiro's project management team that they proposed on this project, not on their corporate experience, but specifically on this project, they had the best and most qualified and experienced project management team of the three.
Director Wilson.
I'm sorry, I don't have it. The number of total projects for Siemens. Quite a few. They are Siemens is the car company that has delivered the most number of cars in the United States. That's the total. They have over 1,100 rail cars delivered. Kinki Shirl has over 600 cars delivered in the United States.
Okay. Yes.
In the staff report that they've given us, they've answered that question. The issue of Siemens and Light, and I think they've only had one, and that was about 14 years ago.
The Siemens, they were late on the P2000 car, and their last car delivery to us was in July of 2004.
Right. The contract was in 98, however, correct?
Correct.
That's what you're... So the issue of them being late is really not, at this point, an issue.
Correct. Well,
they're all pretty good in recent years, okay?
They're all pretty good in recent years, yes.
Okay.
We need to be careful about what we describe as on-time performance. We have learned of a late project in Boston for Siemens as well, although they have given us some data that suggests that they mitigated that quite a bit, but there was a problem there.
When was that?
That was we have articles from the Boston Globe as recently as 2007.
But it's not on your list.
No, it's not. We did evaluate. We used Boston for the purposes of determining their ability to mitigate problems, and we did talk to Boston. They identified that they had mitigated most of that problem, but they weren't nonetheless late there as well.
Okay, so if I heard you right, Kinki Shirl had no lates at all. Did CAF have any lates in terms of delivery?
We determined that CAF was late in both Pittsburgh and Sacramento.
And Siemens had some lates as well?
Siemens was late here, and they had an issue in Boston as well.
Okay, I'm going to direct my question to the CEO. We had a really good weekend, I think, for the MTA this past weekend. With the expo opening, it seemed to be a lot of folks really excited about additional, you know, alignments coming on board. So my question to you is, can you give us some kind of assessment of your belief on whatever these contractors are, whether they'll be able to meet the timelines that we have? Because I think it would be rather embarrassing for this agency to bill additional rail projects to the tune of billions of dollars and not have cars to actually open up with. So I'm concerned that we would have an embarrassment that would be worldwide. Can you talk to us about what kind of assurances you see? I mean, you're the guy who we look to, or the person we look to.
I'm happy to do so. The recommended firm has an extremely strong record over a lengthy period of time of delivering cars on schedule. Moreover, when we met with their project team, our guys were very impressed at the experience and qualifications of those teams. This firm, Kinki, has committed to delivering on the schedule that we have required. I would also just point out that because that award would be consistent with the FTA's approved evaluation criteria, we think that our ability to get the project moving, the procurement moving as quickly as possible, would be optimized. So I feel very good that we are going to be able to open those two projects on schedule. However, I must say that we are out of slack. The last several years of delay has consumed whatever slack there would have been in that schedule. So we are now right on the edge of slipping behind the construction schedule for the two rail lines that you referenced.
There are two things that I heard as I was listening to all the proposers with respect to delays or asking for an additional time. One had to do with the protests and whether you were going to be responsive to their protests in a timely fashion. I think there was another one had to do with whether we were going to get something in writing from the FTA. So can you talk to those two?
Sure. I think that... we will, I've not yet undertaken to review the protest, but we will adjudicate it promptly. I don't know how long that will take, but I want to make sure that we give it a very thorough review. As regards the FTA discussions, given the more than year discussion that we've had with them, really that's unprecedented. And with Mr. Widman's assurance that we think we'll get a turnaround with them pretty quickly, I'm hopeful. I think the saving grace there is that this is really important. The issue before the FTA is a narrow one, and therefore, and it is one for which they've offered guidance in the past couple of months. So that is the basis for hoping for a quick turnaround on the answer. I think if we don't follow that procedure, that is, if we don't go with the recommendation, which conforms with the FTA evaluation, I think we are at risk of significant multi-year delays.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, Director Jose.
Thank you. And one of the items that had a lot of discussion here was workforce development. And there was an amendment to the RFP, amendment number 19, which asked the bidders to do a best and final offer to include a specific dollar amount for workforce development and training and a detailed plan for workforce development. Did all the responders adequately respond to that amendment number 19?
Yes, they did.
When I reviewed some of the materials, and I didn't get into the nitty-gritty of the actual proposals, but some of the materials have mentioned that some of the proposals did not have a financial commitment to workforce training and development, while others did. Is that accurate?
No, that's not. Value in question was that of Kinkishiro's, which was provided during face-to-face negotiations, discussions. They provided an update, a clarification, a written update and clarification, where they identified the estimated value of that training per person. So they satisfied that element.
And the workforce development, that's our own undertaking, or is that a FTA requirement?
Well, that was something we asked for.
Okay, so we created those regulations, and in our scoring, the trade-off we did in our scoring for price, did we look at long-term workforce development, and not only at the quantitative numbers of job creation, but what would it mean for California, for the United States, to create more permanent jobs here? For example, you know, they're doing some testing in other countries. What about the capability and the implementation of a testing plan here in the United States? Were those types of factors in our criteria?
No, they were not allowed to be included in the criteria. The FTA was very prescriptive in what they would allow and what they would not allow. And one of the things that they made very clear was that they did not want qualitative criteria to be scored. They did not want the U.S. employment program to be an evaluated factor. However, they did allow us to use one quantitative data point, and that is the wages and benefits after economic multiplication as a trade-off, and that's what they would allow.
One of the commentators from UCLA mentioned that wasn't the correct criteria to use. What's your response to that?
Well, we went to the Department of Commerce Bureau of Economic Analysis, and we asked them what would be the right and most appropriate economic multiplier to use. And they responded that if we were measuring a complete rail car program, all of the value and costs associated with a rail car program, then the economic multiplier would be much larger. But because the FTA narrowed our review to only the wages and benefits of the employees that they would be hiring, the new employees, that fell to a much lower economic multiplier, of which is identified as the household's economic multiplier. And we went back to the FTA and talked to them directly about the use of that economic multiplier. In fact, Mr. Leahy directly went to Washington, D.C. to get that approved, because initially they didn't want to give us that. And so that's where that economic multiplier comes from.
Going back to your earlier response, when you mentioned FTA would not allow us to use that type of criteria, the only thing I came across that they wouldn't allow us to use is local job creation. But you're saying for us, in looking at the type of workforce development and training, and also what type of pilots that are being created in other countries, if we bring that type of expertise here and build it in the United States, that type of criteria wasn't allowed to be used?
What they allowed us to use is that criteria for the purposes of determining responsiveness. And so we applied those as a responsiveness question, but they would not allow us to use those kinds of factors to establish qualitative scoring, as we would, say, for other elements of the rail car, like the technical or the schedule adherence, weight compliance, those things. They only allowed us to use the one factor. And if you'll look at the, and we have the letters if you'd like to see, the letters that both from Metro to the FTA and their approval to us, where we specifically say that we would limit it to that that quantitative factor only. They also, in their approval, said, we want to see all of your amendments. We want you to send us the actual language of those amendments so that they could review them, and they did.
Okay. Thank you. And finally, on the Buy America law, we discussed that earlier a little bit. Well, before I leave the workforce development, I don't think there's anybody in this room right now. I don't know. I shouldn't assume. It's not safe to assume. But I don't think there's anybody in the room who would not agree that it's best for us to build some of the capabilities within our own country in building these cars when we're building prototypes in other countries, right? I mean, I think that's, we want to get there. And not only for our purposes through this contracting, but to send a message to all the other rail car builders that, you know, we want to move in that direction. And I think that's a very important message to get to them. But we had that opportunity to do that here. And we controlled the workforce development criteria. The only thing that's keeping us from doing whatever we want is the FTA. Why couldn't we expand on that a little bit more? Why couldn't we move in that direction a little bit more? Do you feel comfortable we did?
Yes, we, both Kent and I were in direct discussions with the FTA's chief counsel regarding the specifics of the employment plan, and we felt that we had gone as far as we could in those direct discussions. No one is questioning the importance of local jobs. In fact, our initial request to the FTA was for them to approve a local jobs program. That was our preference.
Well, I'm not talking about local jobs. I know that's prohibited. I'm talking about building skills in this country, that it's not talking about a region, about a geographic area. It's about producing and bringing the types of skills that are being developed in other countries to this country, wherever that may be.
Excuse me. I think
there's
the
a difference there.
Yes. I mean, this is the first time where the FTA has agreed to allow an inclusion of the domestic content as part of the evaluation criteria. That's quite an achievement. This is an aside, but I wanted to say to you, when we go back there to talk about a transportation bill, a reauthorization next time they do that, we've been speaking about permitting local jobs preference for more than a year, maybe 2 years, based on the principle that when an agency like MTA has a non-federal revenue stream like Measure R, when local taxpayers are paying the freight, the bulk of the freight for projects, they should amend the federal rules and allow us to have local preference. Now, I hope that we achieve that. That's a legislative issue that would require the Congress to include that in the next transportation bill. Until that is done, we cannot have local preference. So, therefore, I think we've pushed this. We didn't get it as far as we wanted it, but we got it, at least we got something.
Okay. Well, that didn't exactly answer my question. But
may I add that one of the important features of the Kinki-Sherrill offer is to move fabrication of car shells to the United States. That's a very important transfer of important jobs and technology to the United States. And of all 235 car shells, 157 will be fabricated right here in the United States. That's an important transfer of those important manufacturing skills that will come to the United States.
Yeah, got it. I just think when there's all this talk about, you know, developing the technology that's being used to develop products around the country, and that we don't have that technology, the technological expertise in this country, and our students are not being trained in that, and we are losing our footing in the world economy because we're not preparing our students in that direction. Here we had an opportunity to say, let's prioritize bringing some of those skills and technological skill back into this country. And I just want to raise that, not only for the purposes of this contract, but for the rail car builders, that in the future, I hope our agency and other agencies will be looking at that, because it is, I think, an issue of utmost importance for this country that we continue to bring back those technological skills to our country. But be that as it may, the Buy America law, you have mentioned that the FTA will come back soon with a response. The question was raised, what are the repercussions should there be a response that is not favorable to MTA, that there will be, is it a cure? Is it a rejection? What type of response are we expecting from FTA?
Well, again, what I'm expecting is they're going to confirm that what we've done is perfectly legal and perfectly in compliance with Buy America. In the unlikely event that they find there's some technical final assembly issue, then what I mentioned earlier is Kinki-Sherrill, like the other bidders, submitted a certification that they would comply with both domestic content and final assembly. They are bound by that certification. And the regulations say specifically if there's an issue of technical noncompliance later, they have to fix it. And they have to fix it at no increase in the cost. That's both a regulatory obligation and a contractual obligation. So it becomes, again, it's somewhat hard to hypothesize what that issue might be.
Kent, do you have even a whisper from the FTA that would indicate that we have a problem in this regard?
No, I do not.
You're making...
Anna, then Supervisor Aroslowski.
Well, I don't want to lose the floor here, so let me finish up my questioning here. City Council, we do have time limits as to how long council members could ask questions and speak, but I love it here because we could go on. I'm taking advantage of that here. my final point on this is, look, I understand the predicaments of Ansaldo Breda and our need to get trains on a multi-billion dollar program that all the world is watching. I understand that. And all these types of large procurements, trying to do everything that's right, it does take a step-by-step approach. And we've gotten, I think, very close to a final decision. But I certainly, my concern here is that it's only going to take a couple of days or a week or so to get a response from the FTA. We have yet to hear what the result of the appeal on the protest is. But with all due respect, with the sounds of what's going on in this room, it's not going to be any different from what the staff response were. It's just what it sounds like. I just don't feel, why not finally dot all our I's and cross our T's and make sure that everything is okay to move forward? And I like to move that we close public debate and that we have this item as a board discussion only item at the next board meeting. Is there a second for that?
Well,
let's. You're going to shut everybody else off. Put it on the table.
Put it on the table.
All right, okay.
Ms. Fasana.
Yes, in terms of this procurement, I have a question, then I have a comment. The question is two part. What is the cost of the rail car procurement, and what is the value of the federal role expected to be, the dollars that will come from the federal government?
The value of the contract is with
240.
The value of the total contract is the recommended contract is $891 million. The federal share is $240 million of that $891 million.
Okay, thank you. You know, it seems to me that one of the things we considered and had the opportunity to consider was whether to put federal dollars on this contract or not. That had we decided not to put federal dollars on the contract, we could have changed the procurement. We could have really addressed some of the concerns that some of us were interested in even back when the BRADA contract was up for consideration in terms of having a strong local jobs element. But it seemed to me that if, had we done that, that would have been an extra $240 million that would have needed to come out of Measure R or some other projects. It would have reduced construction capacity on other projects that are also going to create jobs in this region by $240 million. So it seemed to me that one of the things we really did here is we tried to leverage the Measure R dollars that we had to get the most value out of those dollars that are going to be spent locally. You know, $240 million is a significant amount. And, you know, it's frustrating because, again, I think had this been a local procurement, there would be some things that would have been done differently. But the federal government, by putting their dollars in, at least at this stage in time, their regulations are what they are. And it seems to me that, you know, we've heard, you know, first of all, I would stipulate that we have three strong proposers here and that they've all done good work. It seems to me that we have a strong case that has been made by them. But it also seems that if we pick one of the options other than what the staff recommendation is, well, those would have, you know, preferable outcomes to some of those firms. They put Metro at extreme risk, it seems to me, of losing the procurement and having tremendous delay. And it seems that the only path forward would be, at this point, given what staff has tried to do, what staff has done in an unprecedented sense, to gain movement from FDA towards more of a recognition of American jobs and American job content, that moving forward with the staff recommendation, also mindful of the parallel investment in Measure R, the construction activities will be taking place, and kind of the desire to actually have rail cars ready to run on them when the construction is complete, that it makes sense to me. So I'll lay my substitute motion on the table as well, given that other directors also wish to speak. Thank you.
What is your substitute motion?
Well, to go ahead and approve the staff recommendation.
With pending...
pending resolution or protest.
FDA issue.
No, I would... it should certainly be contingent upon resolution of the protest.
That's all I...
But, you know, it may be that the FTA declines to write a letter. Maybe that they communicate via phone call that they are okay. So I would just suggest to you that in that event, we should be able to move forward, but certainly should be contingent upon resolution of the protest.
What's the time with regard to that directly? I'm sorry to jump in. What's the time period with which the protests would be anticipatedly resolved?
I would hope to resolve it in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
2 or 3 weeks?
At the most.
Okay.
Protest. I'll probably aim at doing it faster than that. I'm going to make sure that we have enough time to thoroughly review it.
I think somebody ahead of me.
Then
he passed.
After who?
Yeah, after Zev.
Zev passed.
Okay.
Okay, Don.
John, was your motion subject to what?
Subject to resolution of the protest. That was it.
What about the issue of the FDA letter?
I think staff has explained that as well as they can, that based on everything they've heard from FDA, that FDA...
Well, if the FDA is willing to offer opinions and letters and everything else, why can't they offer an opinion and letter on what we've done?
Well, FTA has issued directives on this. They may write another letter. They may decline to write a letter and just express...
Well, why can't we ask them? I mean, here's my issue. I mean, I understand we have to deal with the issue of the protest, and anything we do would be subject to the resolution of the protest. But I still have the concern about the letter and getting some clearance and not to be put us in a position to come back and say, well, you know, FDA said this or this, and we can't fix or amend or do anything else. I mean, it's no different than doing subject to.
Understood. In the event that we don't get the letter, we would be coming back here and discussing it next time. Maybe Mr. Whitman wants to comment on the likelihood or not.
I just would comment. They're doing an informal review. I can't guarantee they will give us a letter. We spent a one-year process with them on the U.S. employment plan, and that process ended with an email saying we have no further issues. So we can't mandate how they respond.
The FTA is very likely to say, look, we've issued directions. We've issued directions multiple times on this. Why do we need an additional letter? We've already told you what to do.
Can they put that in the letter? No, whatever happened to Seattle, whatever happened anyplace else, you're holding that letter. You're holding a letter. The staff is holding a letter in reference to some other issue.
I'm willing to amend the motion, and I'm going to ask Director Kanavi whether this would meet his concern that within the time frame of the resolution of protest, it would also be subject to no negative response from FTA regarding this issue.
Second.
I'm sorry.
It's within the time frame of the resolution of the protest.
So once the protests are resolved, if we haven't gotten any letter
or clarification from FTA that's negative moving forward.
But we don't know we're going to get a response that's either a phone call or a written response. We were just told that.
From a process standpoint, is it motions ahead of?
Was he withdraw his and support Fasanas?
I'll second Weezer's.
Okay. Finish your motion, then, Councilman.
So Weezer's is a straight continuance till next board meeting, correct?
Well, it's a continuance, but we don't need to go through the public comment again. We've heard over and over again. We've just come back and we look.
You can't do that. You're going to have to go through it all over again.
Well, I'd rather be in a position where we're clear rather to undo a decision. It's easier to just make a decision in direction with more information. If there's litigation, one of the first things the judge is going to look at is that there was no due process of finality before the board even made a decision. I know we have our policy in that. We could move forward on that, but it's a safer approach. That's my thing. That's my rationale for that.
And then my motion is a substitute to that motion.
Mr. Fasano, your motion is to pending both?
Pending resolution of the protest and no negative response from FTA.
And your motion is a substitute to?
Yes.
Well, can I just ask a point of order?
Supervisor Yaroslavsky.
It's been a long time since I've read the Robert's Rules of Order. Not since I had trifocals, trifocals. isn't a motion to continue non-debatable, or is it non-substitutable, I always thought that a motion to continue takes precedence, but it's been a long time.
Look up Bob.
I can take a look at.
I thought a motion to table is always in order, but it was delayed at the request of the chair because he also coupled it with a shut off debate piece. I think it was a straight up delay. It would have been non-debatable.
And that is correct because the motion did have more than just a continuance in it.
Yeah, but just a point of clarification. I don't think you could have a close the debate after you've spoken. But I think that out of the spirit of what I heard Director Weezer said, I think he said he would like to introduce a motion. And we never took that up. And then Director Fasano said he'd like to introduce a motion. So I think just in the spirit of working together, let him introduce his motion. We vote on it and then go to Mr. Fasano's motion.
Yeah, that's easy.
All right.
That's fine as well.
Mine's a substitute, so I'll go with what the chair rules.
You can't substitute for procedural, I don't think. Table's procedural. Mm-hmm. Go up and down on Weezer and then.
Vote as a substitute and make it a motion.
It'd be a primary. Well, two separate motions.
Okay. It doesn't matter who goes first.
I don't care.
Well, it actually does matter. Because if Weezer passes, there's no point for the second. But
well, if it doesn't pass, then it doesn't.
So the motion to continue is not conditioned on it. It's just a motion to continue.
to me.
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out.
I'm not sure if using the word continuance as a term of art in procedure.
Okay, why don't you just repeat what your motion is?
Add to that other difficulties. I just wanted to move this item to the board meeting. I asked that we close out public comment, which we do at City Council, but apparently it's not under our rules, so that we could just be clear whether the FTA has ruled and what they ruled and the protest, find out what the results of that, and vote.
Okay, so can I ask you a question? What happens if we don't hear by the time the next board meeting from the FTA? You going to ask for another continuance? I think we need to know that now. I need to know that now as to determine how I vote.
We've been reassured from our staff.
I'm asking you what happens if we don't get a letter. They have also said we may never get a letter.
If we get a phone call, that would be sufficient enough.
What if it's a year from now we get an email?
Or to whom?
This is not hypothetical. We've been through this with FTA before, and we've been through this dance on rail cars. So it'd be one thing if we continued it for 2 weeks to another special meeting. We have a big meeting. The full meeting, I think, the regular meeting is a full agenda. But in the event that we don't get a response, if your answer is we'll continue it again, I mean, I assume you're going to want to continue it again, because the way I'm hearing you is you're not prepared to vote for this on this until you get a clarification from FTA.
How about
if that's
not the case, then what's the difference between
April 30th and May 14th? Let me clarify something for you, because he moved it. And,
I'm sorry, Mr. Katz.
Mr. Weiser moved it. I seconded it. I'm not prepared to second it again if it comes back in 30 days. I
mean, yeah, but you're not the only member of the board.
Well, I didn't see anybody else willing to second it here the first time, so that's all I say.
Mr. Supervisor, that's an evaluation we all have to make for ourselves, whether you vote for my motion or not. When this came to committee, I spoke very loud and clear that we need to move on and not put ourselves at risk. I certainly wouldn't want to put this board and this agency at risk in delivering the cars, and I will make my evaluation at that time.
Mr. Chair, call for the question.
Okay. Motion. Mr. Hussar's motion. Call the roll.
Can you
restate the motion? Continue this to the next board meeting is the motion. Call the roll. Working?
Are you going to do call the roll. Voice for?
Okay. Call the roll.
No.
Yes.
No.
No.
Fasano will go no.
No.
Right, now what do we have before us?
Fasano.
Fasano.
No. Motion.
No. It's.
I know.
Oh, my motion's up. Okay.
I assume you were rolling no on your motion.
I'll vote yes on my motion.
Okay.
Okay. Motion fails. Motion by Director Fasano. Seconded.
Just repeat it one, just so we know what we're doing. Oh, okay.
Restate the motion.
Actually, it's on the screens here to approve staff recommendation pending resolution of protest and subject to no negative response from the FTA regarding this issue.
During this period, protest period.
Within the protest period.
Just a point of clarification. Your motion is just as open as the other one. It doesn't give us a finite timeline. How long are we going to wait?
No, it does give you a finite timeline.
It does, a resolution of the protest.
Okay.
I just clarified.
It's up to Mr. Leahy then.
Yes. Yeah, he said 2 to 3 weeks they'd be done with the protest. With the response.
So within that window, if FTA comes back with something negative, then we have a problem.
Call the roll.
Can I just ask one other question? Just the attorney. I just want to be sure because the issue of fairness and came up. Is there any problem with us approving this, even subject to the resolution of the protest, without the protest having been resolved?
No, our procedure, MTA procedures provide for approval of an item subject to resolution of the appeal by the CEO.
And if for some reason the protest is resolved not in favor of the recommended bidder, it would have to come back to the board.
Back to the board.
Thank you.
Call the roll.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Abstain.
Yes.
Yes.
Aye. Motion carries. Motion to adjourn. Action. So ordered.
Yeah, I think so.